much about.
When you're in your 80s, rarely do you embark on a brand new profession, but we recently met up with some retirees in Centennial who are starting something brand new. They have caught the broadcasting bug.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
But the worst part about doing clubs is, if you're headlining, they fly you in the night before, and you have to fly in early so that you can get up extra early in the morning the next day and do the morning zoo crew, you know, and drive time radio to promote the show. And it's the f***ing worst, man. That is a f***ing nightmare. Even if it's 15 minutes, it's the worst 15 minutes of your f***ing life always. I don't care if you've been in a f***ing shark attack. I would rather... If I was in a shark attack and then they had no anesthetic and they had to heal it up and they sew it up, I'd be like, this sucks. But then if two DJs came in to interview me, I'd shoot myself.
And now,
go ahead and do your show. And I'm sure we'll all enjoy it.
Our feature presentation.
That dude is probably right, yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably right. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBeach Show. It is Thursday. It is the 8th of October. What's that?
He then taps Chip and gives her a thumbs up, like, way to do your job. And Chip looks at him like, yeah.
No, what happened was she had her back turned.
Right.
And this wasn't up, so I couldn't play it.
Oh.
So she reached over and turned it on and put it up, and then I hit it immediately. Oh. So it's teamwork.
Oh.
It was mostly her. But
yeah.
Who gets the save is my question.
Probably Chip.
Chip gets the save.
All right.
Yeah.
Why what?
How? Because I just...
It's difficult to...
But I...
Dude.
I mean, you've been here for almost a minute. It seems like you could have gotten that in order before the show started.
There's a lot of, you know...
Things.
So there's stuff.
There are a lot of things.
There's stuff. There's a lot of things and there's stuff.
Okay.
Hey, good show today. We'll get into it in a minute. But here's a follow-up a little bit on our conversation with Luis Guzman yesterday on the show. From Code Black and Narcos. Love that dude. He was talking about, and Kevin, you were interested in, his conversation about missing the fall foliage.
Yes.
Or is it foliage? Which one is it? It's foliage, right?
Foliage.
Yeah. And what were you saying about that? Just that...
I was saying, I grew up in Phoenix, and then I moved here.
Right.
Well, I haven't had a lot of that in my life.
Not a lot of trees in your life.
Right.
But Allie, correct me if I'm right, because you got a lot of New England in your background. It's a huge deal for people in that part of the country. Like, it's something they really live for and look forward to and enjoy, right?
Oh, yeah. There are maps that people follow to the T to go to Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, to actually go on these big excursions to see the best possible time of the leaves changing. You're laughing,
what
but it's
terrible
true.
Life that would be.
No, it's magical. It is magical when you see
We've got to map
these...
out the leaves. Come on, honey. Let's sit down and map it.
You know what?
And it's just because it's for lovely. Folks who said... For folks who are very confused, it's just because there is a peak moment, I guess, over the course of a few days where you get the best reds and the best yellows.
Yep.
And,
peak
right?
time.
And it sure. looks pretty.
Yeah.
My parents took a – when we lived in Maryland, they took a bus tour to New England for the foliage. It was what they did on a vacation one time.
I think that's lovely.
See the trees.
Yeah.
Well, I bring all this up because –
you get out of the bus and you go, you know what? Leaves. Pretty cool. Let's get back on and keep going. You know what? This, leaves.
I knew this wasn't going to be for right. you, Kevin. This is maybe for other people. But
you know what those are? Leaves.
If there are people who are listening right now who really miss fall in New England, check this guy out. Tell me this isn't a great idea. He started a company called ShipFoliage.com, and it ships beautiful grade A foliage from the Northeast right to your door. You can now be the proud owner of some beautiful dead leaves for the low, low price of $19.99.
Wow!
According to ShopFoliage.com, experts hike around New England for the perfect leaves, which are then preserved and sent with a customizable handwritten letter. So, for instance, Allie, if you wanted to send some to your folks or relatives around the country or something like that, you get them to write out a little letter, boom, send them some leaves, a little piece of home coming in the mail. Each package costs $19.99 and contains three color-balanced leaves, one red, one yellow, and one green or mixed.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Each leaf is about 3 by 6 inches, but they're leaves, so sizing varies. The man who started the company, Kyle Waring, is 27 years old. He's from Somerville, Massachusetts.
Somerville.
Jay, what is it? What is it? He just launched the new website on Tuesday. Today's Thursday. He, as of this interview yesterday, Wednesday, had already received more than 75 orders in just 24 hours of business.
Yeah.
He admitted he did not expect it to take off as it did. He says he's trying to build out his network of collectors and streamline his preservation process. He has plenty of friends and families in the Boston area who are willing to help him out.
Sure.
He also, by the way, has a company that he started last year that ships snow.
Oh, I remember this kid.
This is the kid. Pretty smart guy, right?
Yes.
He's an entrepreneur. That word I have trouble saying.
Right.
Foliage seems to be the next best commodity in New England, he says. The leaves are preserved by soaking them in a mixing of baked glycerin and water for 3 days. Then they're set out to dry for another 3 days, and the process gives them a glossy texture. So there you go. You don't get the
he's
the
just
scent
grabbing a handful of crap and putting it in a box and mailing it out.
It sounds like he's taking it seriously. It sounds like it's very well.
Foliage, yeah, take it. Yeah. Yeah, it's red. Good luck with that. Good luck with
it. Sounds to me like he's put a lot of time and effort into the presentation and making it seem, you know, like somebody would really enjoy it.
Why don't you order some to test it?
Well, I don't need it.
I don't need it. I know. I'm just saying try it and
no,
see.
I'm saying, look, this is not my thing either. I mean, I appreciate that they're pretty and I appreciate that people are into them. I don't need a bunch of dead leaves, you know, sitting around. But if anyone does, shipfoliage.com. What do you want to bet this would be a big, big success for him?
Probably.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, let's say you grew up in New England and then your daughter goes to UCLA and you miss your daughter and she misses you. Why not send her some fall leaves? That is delightful.
It's a great idea.
Yes.
Put it around the dorm room or something like that.
Yes.
Make you feel like you have a little piece of home.
Little piece of home, Kevin.
Little piece of home.
I sense you're still not in.
I'm not in, no.
All right.
Because they're leaves. Here's the thing about leaves.
Right.
You pretty much know what they look like.
I think the leaves symbolize something more than a leaf, Kevin.
Okay. All right.
Love.
Oh, it's
contentment.
Love. Oh.
Safety.
Good. My bad.
Okay.
I'm going to order some now.
Okay.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Abito, shall we?
All right. Excuse me. I need a vomit bucket.
Dr. Drew on the program today, as we do on Thursdays.
Not a doctor.
Well, he's a doctor.
Yeah.
I think he is.
He didn't go to medical.
No, I think he did. He did.
Faked it.
What? I think they're real.
I didn't felt them, but I think it.
What? Oh, faked it.
Oh, yeah, I see.
His degree.
Okay, I got you.
What did you think I said?
Nothing.
We have tickets for The Cure at Hollywood Bowl. We are going to talk to Zachary Levi. Is he Zach or Zachary now?
Zach Levi.
Exactly. Talking about Heroes Reborn. Luke Robitaille from the LA Kings, and a brand new internet roundup coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. 6.7 K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
It is too damned early, but that's why Ralph Garman is here to make it all better. Good morning, Ralph.
I don't have those kind of powers, but
really,
I can tell you some stories about show business. Like Tom Hanks, never fails to impress, please, never disappoints us. It's always the good guy. Tom Hanks was walking through the park in New York City, and he came across a student ID on the ground. And most of us would go, huh, sucks to be that person. Or maybe pick it up and turn it into the school or throw it in the trash. But not Tom Hanks. He tweeted out a photo of the ID with his thumb over the important parts, like the last name and stuff, and tweeted out a photo saying, "Hey, Lauren, I found your ID. If you want it back, let me know, and I'll have someone in my office get it back to you." Now, Lauren, who goes to Fordham University, doesn't even have Twitter. But a professor of hers sent her an email with a link to the tweet saying, "You're famous." And she's been on Good Morning America.
How about that?
And she's got the word out. "I'm here, Tom," is what she said on Good Morning America.
I don't.
That doesn't sound.
Yeah,
like
that doesn't seem like.
Tom Hanks said, "I got your ID in my pocket,
right,
Lauren. Why don't you? Why don't you get it yourself,
nope. Guys? I think you're right.
You can't use your hands.
Yeah,
I don't think this is going to happen.
Run, Lauren, run.
Yeah. No? No.
Life's like a box of my chocolates. You never know when you're going to get one with a creamy center.
Okay.
You know what?
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
You know how she lost her student ID?
Hit the music again, Kevin.
No.
You know how she lost her student ID? She went out on a run. She had her armband, you know, where she puts all important stuff, her phone and her student ID and her money.
Uh-huh.
And she took out her phone so she could take some pictures of...
The fall leaves.
The fall foliage. Allie McKay, you're absolutely right.
Around.
You win all the prizes. Because fall foliage rules, Kevin, and you are dead inside.
Kevin did not seem impressed by the young man's business model of sending out leaves from New England to around the country. I think it's genius.
I miss the fall leaves so much every fall. I pine, no pun intended, for those trees and their multiple colors and the smell of fall leaves on the ground. It's fall, baby.
But it's down into the low 90s now in L.A.
That's true.
So it's like fall.
That is fall, yeah.
I'm wearing my winter t-shirt. It's tough to be on Broadway for Keira Knightley. She's not having a good run of it. Remember opening night I told you there was a young man who stood up and screamed, "Keira, will you marry me?" While she's emoting on the stage. Then 5 seconds went by and he said, "You 5 seconds is too long to wait for a response. Fall leaves are dumb, right?" Now, Keira has suffered an injury, so she didn't perform. In fact, the show at Studio 54 Theater there in New York City was canceled, which is odd. Usually they have a backup, someone to go out and take the stage in case the star can't make it. But
I thought every Broadway show had understudies.
The show was canceled.
What happened to
Roundabout Theater Company won't say how Keira hurt herself.
Huh.
Just that Tom Hanks found her ID. Yeah. Bang, chicka, bang, bang. Our buddy Steve O's going to the Clink. He's going to the Gray Bar Hotel. Going to the Hooskow. He's going inside. Going in the hole. He pled no contest to trespassing and possessing fireworks after protesting SeaWorld atop a crane here in Hollywood last August.
Yeah, dude.
Steve O will be serving 30 days at the L.A. County Jail beginning in December. Pay over $7,400 in restitution. And had to report to a probation officer for 3 years. Come on.
Wow.
He was just on a crane saying, "Don't hurt whales."
Yeah, he didn't knife a dude.
He's right. It's not Vanilla Ice. On the bright side, though, Steve-O kind of seems kind of pleased about the whole thing. He told TMZ, "It's nice to know I haven't lost my edge." Which is funny. From good guys in jail to bad people in jail. Our good friends to the north, the police of Montreal, Canada, arrested Randy Quaid for the second time this year.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Randy's nuts. We'll have a detention review today in Montreal. His wife, Evie, told the Canadian News Service that her husband was detained because it's the corrupt government is trying to... Okay, shut up, we all said. You can see her profanity written video on YouTube, which she calls out President Obama and the State Department and Canada, and Canada's sexist and racist. Oh, it's all kinds of fascinating information in there.
But they went to Canada because they were trying to get away from America, which they also thought was a terrible country.
Yeah. They ran to Canada because they tried to pay a hotel bill with stolen credit cards, and they were on the lam. That's why they ran to Canada.
What did they arrest Randy for this time, Rob?
It does not say yet.
It doesn't say yet.
We'll find out more today, I'm sure. It just happened yet.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
See? It wasn't Montreal, Kevin. It was Monty Hall.
Right.
Just legendary confusion. Host of the classic television game show Let's Make a Deal.
Right, yeah.
You didn't call him. No.
Oh, well, that happened, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yep.
That was the real Monty Hall right there.
It was really him And we did that. Dean has replayed it 750 times.
Wordplay! And sad news. Disney legend Kevin Corcoran passed away. He was a star of many different Disney productions. Known as Moochie on the Mickey Mouse Club for Disney. Also did a ton of movies for them, like The Shaggy Dog and Swiss Family Robinson. Maybe best known as the youngest boy in the Disney film Old Yeller. He was the boy who finds Yeller. and takes him in, adopts him to the family, and then, oh, spoiler alert, you haven't seen that movie, man.
So sad.
Do not show it to your kids. I promise you, it will traumatize them forever. I still get weepy thinking about old Yeller.
Best dog on dog in the West.
Good point. Old Yeller loved fall leaves, by the way.
He did.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Bella Thorne is 18. Woo! Finally! Yeah! I no longer have to feel guilty for all those thoughts. I'd like to find her student ID. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to find her student ID.
I think we know.
I'd like to process her.
Right.
I'd like her to matriculate. At my university.
You lost me there.
I would like to give her the meal plan.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Singer Bruno Mars is 30. Travis Pastrami celebrates his 32nd birthday. Boy, he makes a good sandwich. He does great work.
Pastrami.
I think you're confused again, Ralph. I think it's Travis Pastrana.
It's Pastrana.
Yeah. I've been eating pastrami for a lot of years. I think I know how to say it.
Okay.
Nick Cannon's 35. Matt Damon's 45. Daryl Hammond. Of course, longtime cast member of SNL, now the announcer on that show. He was Colonel Sanders for about a minute.
He
said, these commercials blow. And then he stopped being Colonel Sanders. And now Norm MacDonald is Colonel Sanders. We live in a strange world.
Yeah, it's weird, too.
People are taking turns being Colonel Sanders. When's Kevin's turn? That's what I want to see.
Exactly.
Kevin as Colonel Sanders.
Thank
selling
you, Ralph.
Chicken.
Thank you.
I'll have chicken. Get a bucket, okay? Bucket chicken, go have the crispy goodness of the West. Sigourney Weaver, 66. Chevy Chase, 72 years old today. And Jesse Jackson, legendary civil rights leader, reverend, big fan of our show, Kevin and the Bear, as he's often called it. 74 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, walk the Showbiz Beat.
We have Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille.
Yes.
Coming in studio to talk about hockey.
How'd
you
find
out? Game last night? Were you thinking, Luke, it's time for you to go in, like we always do? We always try to, whenever they lose the game, we say, that's because you didn't put Luke in.
Yeah. So he should have gone in very early. not a great game.
Well, it's very exciting to have hockey back. Always fun to have Luke back.
Why, when you see the story, do you think of me?
Everyone.
Why are people tweeting and emailing and saying, hey, this is about you?
Well,
why
lots
is that
of
happen?
Reasons.
Why is
there
that?
Lots of reasons. First of all, the kid that we're talking about, the University of Kentucky kid who's been in the news this week, is
Connecticut.
Heavily invested in mac and cheese, okay? And that's kind of your thing, mac and cheese.
I love mac and cheese.
Second of all, he has no respect for authority. He ignores direction. He sounds drunk.
Right.
That's just four or five things off the top of my head as to why people are thinking of you. But I have a better question, Kevin, and not that it's not all about you, but what happened to America, man? I thought America was a country where a dude could get a bacon jalapeno mac and cheese and live his life.
Apparently not.
Apparently not. Apparently that's not the kind of country we live in anymore. If you haven't seen this story yet, this student, he's 19 years old. He has been asked to leave the Union Street Market on campus at University of Connecticut. He seems very, very drunk, and he just insists that he just wants them to give him some bacon jalapeno mac and cheese. Now, Allie, you've followed this story more closely than I have. Do they not serve it there? Why wouldn't they give him the mac and cheese?
I think because he had an open container and he was drunk. That was the first thing. They're like, hey, maybe not now, kid.
He brought in alcohol. Well, they asked him how old he was. He said 19.
Mm-hmm. Which doesn't make it legal.
No.
And he didn't take that news well.
No,
and
he
berated everybody in the place. And he used some very inappropriate and offensive language. And eventually the cops were called and he ended up he did get arrested. And if I recall from the story, he was booted from the university too, right?
Yeah, second university he's been kicked out of. So he's a sweet little spirit.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Here's a little of the audio of that.
You're a idiot.
You want to get
just
some help?
Bacon, jalapeno, mac and cheese.
It's a little hard to understand, but he is saying you're an effing tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 I'm going to get expelled. Uh-huh. Just give me some mac and cheese.
Just give me some mac and cheese.
They're not going to give me bacon mac and cheese.
I just denied it. They can't come in here with the whole bottle of booze. Think about it. Think. Ask anybody here. If he wants to walk in with a bottle
of beer. Can I have
beer
in here?
No.
Why not? Why not?
The America?
Why?
How old are you?
19. Just look at this mac and cheese, man.
I'm very hungry.
That tape is a mess, by
At some point, he does shove the manager, and then they all jump on top of him.
You are down.
That's one of the chefs.
Yeah.
You are down. Stay down.
By the way, I know we've seen a lot of videos of violence in the streets and police and citizen altercations over the last few years, but is this the whitest video ever?
It's pretty
this,
white.
This kid is in there getting into an argument about whether he can get mac and cheese or not. These are white people problems.
Yeah.
Well, we thought we'd get to the bottom of this story. Now, hopefully, he is sobered up, but he doesn't have all these pesky classes to go to since he's been expelled. Luke Gotti joins us on the phone, former University of Connecticut student, and he's up next here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hi, Luke.
What's going on?
Well, we're just trying to figure out what was going through your head when you created that that firestorm.
What, man?
What was going? Why were you so adamant about getting
with your tool?
I'm just asking why you wanted the mac and cheese so bad that you're willing to.
I'm hungry, okay? I'm hungry,
right?
And I can only order off the children's menu. I don't like food that you have to chew much, and I like food. I like food that is very soft and creamy, cheesy.
Now, you sounded drunk on the video, Luke, and to be honest...
I'm just drunk. What's America?
Right.
America, it is, okay? Yeah. America.
But you sound drunk
America,
now.
Okay?
I'm just...
It's America.
Right.
All right.
I was asking... You sound drunk. Yeah. Are you drinking now?
What? I can't have beer in here. What? I can't have beer in an interview? Can't have beer in an interview? It's America. Can I have beer in an interview? Anyone? That's what I thought. Okay, just give me my mac and cheese, man.
Well, we're on the phone.
Well,
we don't have mac and cheese to give you.
Mail me some mac and cheese. Mail me some Jake and Pelicano mac and cheese.
Are you?
Just give me the mac and cheese, man. I'm so hungry.
Do you regret the incident that got you kicked out of school?
I'm not even. Yeah, I'm kicked out of school. Okay. Just give me the bacon, mac, and cheese.
Luke, you have been kicked out of school.
Okay, yeah, I'm kicked out of school. Give me mac and cheese.
Okay.
I'll pay for it.
Right.
I'll pay for it. Just give me the mac and cheese. Why can't I have mac and cheese?
Well, we don't have it, I think is what we're saying.
Just give it to me.
Okay, but we really don't.
Look at radio DJ. I'm radio DJ. I'm talking to everybody on the radio. You know, this is going to be posted someplace.
Right.
You're going to look like a tool.
Right.
Yeah, that's what you said to the guy who filmed your video, too. You know, who looks like a tool.
Yeah, right. Right.
No, I'm saying you do. I'm saying you're the guy who looks bad.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Luke, what's your life plan, son? I don't feel like you're making good choices.
Our first plan is get some bacon, jalapeno, mac and cheese.
Good.
That's the first part of the plan. Yeah. And the second part of the plan doesn't even matter because I just wanted to make the color standard cheese.
What?
Whoa.
What
was that idea?
I want bacon, jalapeno, and cheese.
Jalapeno.
Mac and
right,
cheese.
Give it to me.
Okay.
What's wrong with you, man? Dude, I'm so effed. I'm so thoroughly effed.
Yeah.
Where are my shoes? Who got my shoes? Can I just have my shoes, please? This is America. Where's my American shoes?
And Kevin, now you know why everybody thought of you.
How dare
Richard Rios from Buena Park. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin DeBeach Show. You are going to have an awesome Halloween season because you just won your tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountain Fright Fest. Got them for you all week long here on the world famous K-Rock. Hey, David King of Mexico.
Good morning.
How's the poop?
Green.
Still green?
Oh, yeah. Two for two.
How long does that last?
I don't know. But it's like a treat every time.
How long do we have to check?
I'm just curious.
What kind of
cleared it up yet since he had the Burger King Black Burger. I just
how
wondered.
Often do we need the update?
Well, I think until it changes.
Thumbs up. All right.
I think until it's back. Hey, Dave's here because he puts together a little feature that we like to call the Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup.
Wake up and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
Another good batch this week, King. This first video, I think, is very well done. It was what everybody feared when they heard that George Lucas had sold his Star Wars properties to Disney. We thought, oh, no, they're not going to Disney-fy the Star Wars movies, are they? And, of course, they're not, and the Star Wars movies look like they're going to be awesome. But somebody imagine what would happen if Disney really did take over for reals and did a mashup of all the great Disney movies. I mean, it's like, you know, the hologram coming out of R2-D2 is Pinocchio. It's that sort of a thing. And I think in this scene we hear a character from Frozen, I think, being killed by a stormtrooper. This is the kind of movie a lot of people might like to see.
Kids will blow Dan the Lion Fuzz. I'll be doing whatever snow does in summer. Best day of my life.
It's pretty well done. And I guess I forgot that Mufasa from The Lion King shares the voice of Darth Vader. So they have some kind of some fun with using James Earl Jones in this video. It's pretty cool. Kevin, you'll love this one. I know you're in hockey mode right now.
Yep.
I believe this is the Canucks versus the Oilers, I want to say. And a player scores a goal as it bounces off of his face.
It looks like it hurts so bad.
Ouch. Yeah, and you'll hear at the end of this clip of the announcers describing the action when they talk about you can see the blood just gushing out onto the ice. It's pretty chilling.
And again! I think it hit for 10,
maybe. It hit for 10. It might hit him in the face.
He's clutching his face, and they're calling for attention. It may be his goal, but he's paid the price for it in front.
Yeah. Leaking.
Leaking.
Oh.
Do you want to hear the word leaking?
Never.
No, you don't.
Those of you that don't follow hockey, they go stand in front of the goal on purpose and try to tip the puck or whatever to get it past the goalie. So he was standing in, and they shoot it right at him and hits him right in the face.
Right in the face. Yep. Oh.
To his credit, he came back.
He's a hockey player, Dave.
Yes.
He came
back into the game after that. I would lay down for a year if I got hit in the face with a puck. All right. This is an unbelievable true life video of somebody. Do you know where this is, this Nanatahala Gorge, where this river raft
is? It's in North Carolina.
All right. So they're out there. This is one of those deals where you can get river guides to take you down the river. All right. So somebody's out there on the raft, and they come across another boat where there are two girls in the raft who are having the biggest knockdown, drag out fight. It looks like something out of a movie. Like any minute now, this entire boat is going to tip over, or one or both of those girls are going to go into the water. It's crazy. So the people in Raft 1 who are filming this are trying to talk down the girls in Raft 2.
Hey!
Get off! Oh, somebody, please!
Get off of it! Hey, get off of her now! Just pull over and pull them out! You're ruining this!
You're ruining it!
Hey! Let her go!
Bear!
It's awesome because these are two sisters
totally
going at it.
Wow.
Like punching to the face, helmets off, pulling hair, and then when it's all said and done, they finally separate them. And there's another girl underneath them, like, hi, like, thanks for getting them off me.
And it's one of those rafts that only has, like, four people.
And the poor instructor has to, like, continue to steer the raft. Oh, and all these kayakers are trying to make them stop.
And by the way, it doesn't look – they're not out on, a nice, calm lake. They are going down a river where they, you know, they dip and the whole deal. I mean, it's a pretty cool video. Check it out. All right, up next, this one's called American Kids Try Dinners from Around the World. And let's face it, you're only used to the food you've had as a kid. And then all of a sudden they put something with eyeballs in front of you, or they put something that's an animal that you thought was a pet, and now you have to eat that. And the kids have, well, the reactions you would expect.
Are you sure this is chicken?
I would scream and yell and say no, no, no.
Turkey.
Bunnies. Bunny? No! Yummy!
Wait, she's excited about eating a bunny? Is that what happened?
Yeah. So, yeah.
And then she says, oh, I like lamb better, though.
Kevin, here's your favorite internet roundup video of the year. In fact, you would pay to go see this on the big screen. This is a Jean-Claude Van Damme video that somebody has put together with the people that he has killed in every movie throughout his long career. It's also perhaps the longest internet roundup video we've ever had because this is a montage video.
Not even close.
What? 30 minutes, though.
Yeah, we've had internet roundup videos where it's been like 10 hours because it's something on a loop. And
right. Well, this is 30 minutes of Jean-Claude Van Damme just kicking ass.
Yeah.
You don't need a plot, right, Kevin? Just watch that.
It's pretty good.
You're fine. How many kills, Dave, did you figure out?
Yes, 393 kills in Jean-Claude Van Damme's career.
That's amazing.
In movies. Yeah.
This is an interesting video, and we might want to spend some more time with this at another time because they do bring up a lot of surprising and interesting statistics. The question is, are you the most average person in America? And this video takes you through what the average person does every single day. Well, here's a taste.
Are you the most average human in America? Let's find out. If you are the most average human, you'll sleep 8.7 hours a day. If you are a man, you'll have 11 erections. If you are a woman, you won't have erections. You'll pee 4 to 7 times and poop anywhere from once in 3 days to 3 times a day.
And how many of them are green, though? It doesn't even say.
It goes on and on, too. There's so many statistics. And you go, wow, I don't think I'm normal at all. I just realized that when I was watching the video.
Really?
I don't think I'm normal.
What was the one that was...
No, there's a lot of them. I just kept going, wow, really?
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
Really? Oh, wow.
Nope.
Not me.
Uh-oh. Ralph brought this to us last week on the Showbiz Beat. This is the trailer for Jaws 19, which was kind of an in-joke. It was mentioned in... It was on a movie theater marquee in Back to the Future 2. And now that that has its 30th anniversary coming up, Universal got smart and they decided to put together a real-life trailer for the movie that was showing in Back to the Future 2 called Jaws 19. And it sounds awesome.
Battled a Russian shark named Ivan Sharkovsky, took a bite out of the Big Apple, and learned about love from a mysterious stranger. Jaws 18 Origins, the mind-blowing reboot. Now, the oceans are disappearing, and to save their home, the sharks must attack. Jaws 19. This time, it's really, really personal.
The Walking Dead returns this Sunday night on AMC.
Yes.
It is season 6. And I know what a lot of people think. Man, I've been hearing about the show for so long, and I know it's so popular, but I missed too much. There's no way I can start watching now. Well, now you can, because in 7 short minutes, this video brings you up to speed with everything that's happened so far.
Drunken Pete arrives with Michonne's katana.
He threatens to kill Rick. Time for round 2 of Rick versus Pete.
Which turned out to be sloppy as Pete accidentally clips Reg's throat and Rick kills Pete right as Morgan comes in.
R.I.P. Pete and Reg.
In the end, the man in the red poncho, who's now a walker, walks by a car in the yard that is spray painted with the words, Wolves Not Far.
And now you're ready for the new season of The Walking Dead.
Boom. We just saved you 5 seasons worth of having to watch The Walking Dead just
these
by this
guys,
video.
The Fine Brothers, they do it all in one take.
Yeah.
And,
really?
You know, when they describe season 5, you forget how much went on.
It's and they crazy. Do it so quickly. And I was watching it going, how long would it take me to get through that? Honestly.
We'll try it. We'll try to do one episode. Kevin explains one episode in one take.
How dare you. We can, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup up at krock.com or kevinbean.com right now. We can all agree that the worst sound in the world is little kids talking or laughing, right? I mean,
no.
There's no more painful noise to listen to.
I don't know that.
Adorable.
Allie, you're with me, right?
Not even a little.
Well, this is a video that has turned out to be very controversial because this is a dad who's shooting a video of his little girl, his little 3-year-old, who painted her Barbie's fingernails with nail polish. And she's not supposed to use nail polish, I guess, without the parents around because it can get messy or whatever. So he's trying to have a logical conversation with a dumb kid, and here's how it goes.
The kid is 3 years old. What's wrong with you?
Okay, does Barbie know that she could have ruined your carpet and your bed and all of your blankets?
Yes, she told me to.
Barbie told her to do it.
I would listen to the lady with the bear and the kayak 1,000 years in a row before I listen to that.
Why do you hate
dumb little kid?
She's so cute.
Two more real quick. James Corden has the late night show on CBS, and he did a bit this week where he had Julianne Moore and John Stamos in it, where they were doing a soap opera, except all of the dialogue in the soap opera is lyrics from Taylor Swift songs, and it turned out pretty well.
You know, I've heard that you've been out and about with some other girl.
What you heard is true, but I can't stop thinking about you.
Just think, while you've been getting down and out about the liars and the dirty, dirty cheats of the world, you could have been getting down to this sick beat.
Love that, Julie Edmer. And finally, our friend Jimmy Kimmel. You know how great he is with the week in unnecessary censorship, and he does it again.
Could a simple help shed those unwanted pounds.
What explains Donald Trump?
He's a master.
It is National Day.
When people meet you, they say, "CeeLo me in the
is incredible.
What is that?
Can we talk about your family?
Yes.
I just your son, Donald Jr.
Good.
Go to KROQ.com. Check it out. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up. And watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. 6.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Talking sports with our friend Jim Rome later on this morning. Also, Zachary Levi will be here from Heroes Reborn. Dr. Drew on the program. And Hockey Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille next hour. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on Thursday. What's up, Rob?
Before I get to Showbiz News, why don't I give you something? It's the least I could do. You're nice. How about a pair of passes to the KROQ advanced screening of Crimson Peak?
Yay!
This movie looks outstanding. Classic, old-school gothic horror film. Tom Hiddleston plays a handsome, charming stranger who sweeps a young woman off her feet, played by Mia Wasikowska. And he takes her, "Why don't you come stay with me in my mansion, young Mia," says Tom. Or words to that effect. And when she gets there, boom! You don't want to be there. You don't want to be at Crimson Peak. Because that's when the bony hands start showing up. And you know how I feel about bony hands.
You're against them.
No good ever comes from bony hands. Coming out of curtains or mirrors or bathtubs or closets. You don't want a bony hand reaching out to you.
I think I'm with you on that one.
Right?
Yeah.
Jessica Chastain, Charlie Hunnam. Great cast.
And Guillermo del Toro is the director, by the way, which is all I need.
Okay.
I'm just saying. This
guy never makes a bad movie.
What are the odds Bean goes to see this movie?
Oh, he won't.
Not at all.
Right. It's all I need.
Yeah.
To not go. Guillermo del Toro is definitely one of those directors that I see makes a movie, and I say, boy, I wish that I had gone to see that, but I won't.
In a world where he went to see movies, this is one that
this
he would see.
This is one that he would.
Yes.
Wants.
Right. Thank you, Kevin. No worries.
It's that time of year around Halloween. You can't beat a nice, scary film, and this certainly fits the bill. Why not go see it at our KROQ advanced screening of Crimson Peak at the Pacific Grove, Tuesday, October the 13th. However, if you don't win, don't despair, because it's in theaters everywhere on the 16th, so a couple days later you'll be able to see it. Of course, all your friends will have won tickets and they'll mock you and say, "We already saw that. Guillermo del Toro's all I need," they would say to you. But if you'd like to go, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers at that phone number win a pair of passes to our advanced screening of Crimson Peak. We found out this morning that Kevin has no interest in fall foliage.
Yeah.
And our listener, Edwin. God bless Edwin. Edwin, I don't know what you do for a living, but you may want to think about coming to work for us. Edwin says, "What a shock to find that Kevin isn't interested in the beauty of fall colors. I guess there are not enough louds. Perhaps there's a way to appeal to the Kevins of the world, though. Imagine pulling up to a tree with gorgeous fall colors, and suddenly the leaves start exploding. Then, in a grand finale, the tree burns to the ground. At the second stop, we see some red leaves. Then ninjas begin swinging through the branches, battling pirates. Finally, we come to a tree full of yellow leaves, and a SWAT team comes out from behind the tree and starts battling aliens. The liquor concession alone on the store would be worth a fortune. Edwin, I think you got it, Edwin.
So in.
You tapped in.
So in.
How we get the Kevins of the world to appreciate the beauty of fall.
Don't we have a job opening on the Kevin and Bean Show answering phones?
I don't know what we have, but we need to make one. Because every time this guy writes an email, it makes me laugh out loud.
Just saying.
All right. I'm for it. I'm the guy who said, let's do it.
Ruff brought it up.
I brought before right. You said anything, I said we should hire him.
Right, but then when I we said, don't we have him. A job opening answering phones, I thought you guys would see the beauty of that suggestion, because that's only Beer Mug's job. Right?
Right.
Boom. Take care of two problems right in a row here. One is we get rid of Beer Mug. Two, we get Edwin in.
Beer Mug's
We're
not
set.
A problem anymore, by the way. Beer Mug's doing good work.
Yeah, he still walks the earth. What?
I don't think losing your job here means he dies.
If you're not on Radio Alley, you might as well be dead to Bean. That they're equal. It's only two ways to live: death or radio. There's only two things you could do.
Welcome to the show, Edwin.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced their nominees for the 2016 induction ceremony this morning. This is a BS list. This is some BS. Nominees on this list.
I know that you're behind some of them, though.
Some of them I am, but there's other ones that are B, mother loving S. Here's your full list of nominees of people who may may get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right.
Dick Poop.
Dick Poop did not make it again this year. When are they going to recognize
Jesus?
When are they recognize Jesus and Dick Poop? When are they going to get there?
D's Ariana Nuts?
Grande? When's D's Nuts going to show up?
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande, also not a person or a name. Here's your full list of nominees.
Farrah Abramson.
Farrah Abramson did not make the list, Kevin, I'm sorry to say.
Lavalantula.
Lavalantula. Although worthy, maybe have to wait till next year for
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Not a singer. Okay. Not in music.
From Doc's Landing, the very lovely and talented Joan Van Ark.
Joan Van Ark, once again, passed over this year.
Turd Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson didn't make it. Although we're wishing him the best.
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey, although a talented musician, actually not known for his musical work, not nominated for induction this year.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Amy Winehouse passed away, Rodney, so maybe posthumously she could be nominated, but she isn't this
year. Ralph Macchio,
once again, an actor, not a musician, really does not belong on this list at all. So no surprise he did not make it.
All right, let's hear about it because this
no,
is kind
funny
of a national.
Boy, keep going. No, it's hilarious. Keep going. This 7 o'clock. Tell you what, next hour we'll talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. No, we're all out of time, but
I wanted to
next
put in
hour.
A pitch for Cheap Trick because everybody's
hour.
Coming
next
down
hour.
On Cheap Trick this morning.
No,
and it gets
no, don't
sad.
Now you want to talk about the story. Not now. Not after that, how it happened. Not after the time of the burning time. Today's celebrity birthdays: civil rights leader Jesse Jackson, 74 years old today.
I think he's a big fan of our show, if I recall correctly.
Yes, Jesse Jackson, I listen every
Hi,
morning.
Hi, this is Reverend Jesse Jackson. You listen to Kevin and Bear on K-Rock LA.
Can't be Kevin and Bear.
We were so happy when we heard that. He said Bear, that's awesome.
Chevy Chase, 72 years old today. Sigourney Weaver turned 66. She could still kick an alien's ass. Daryl Hammond, 60. Matt Damon's 45. Nick Cannon, the talented Nick Cannon, celebrates 35 years today. Travis Pastrana is 32. Bruno Mars, 30 years old. And actress Bella Thorne. Whew, that Bella Thorne, now that she's 18 today. Can we just set aside some time to talk about Bella Thorne?
Sure.
It's ridiculous. It's insane. It's just insane. It's madness. It's otherworldly.
She was 17 yesterday.
But today she's 18.
Yeah,
is she 17 now?
Is she 17
no,
right
she's
now?
No, she's not.
Right.
But
right.
Still creepy.
Then talk to my penis.
Oh.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have been busy in the Red Bull sound space here at K-Rock over the past few weeks. A lot of great groups have stopped by to perform live, and there's another one today. They are called X-Ambassadors, and you can see them in the Red Bull sound space at 4 p.m. That's an unusual start time, but that's when it is today. 4 o'clock. Just go to krock.com and watch the X-Ambassadors live.
The Russian president is insane, right?
Vladimir Putin?
Yeah.
You watch him on 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago?
I did not know.
Ali, you saw him, right?
Yeah.
He sure loves Vladimir Putin.
He is a big fan of him.
He likes to run around without his shirt on. And he seems like a child.
Like a
12-year-old boy that just wants attention.
Mm-hmm. They asked him about that. Charlie Rose was doing the interview, and they said, Mr. President, why are there so many pictures of you riding a horse with your shirt off?
Right.
And he said, I think what did he say, Ali? He said, I think that the Russian people need a leader that they can believe is strong, mm-hmm. somebody that they can aspire to be. He looks at himself as a symbol of hope for the whole country,
wow.
and he needs to appear as powerful as possible to make the Russian people feel good about their leader.
Shirtless on a horse.
That's right.
Yeah. That'll do it.
Well, he's at it again. His 63rd birthday was yesterday, and he celebrated by playing an exhibition hockey game in Sochi with a bunch of veteran stars of the NHL. I mean, professional hockey players out there playing with an amateur. How do you suppose Vladimir Putin would do up against actual, real professional hockey players?
He would be destroyed.
He scored 7 goals, Kevin.
He scored 7 goals.
He scored 7 goals
by himself.
Let him, right? He's not really that good.
No, he's that good. You don't know, man. It was not exactly a defensive battle. The final score was 15-10, but his club won 15-10 in this charity hockey game. So we wanted to find out what else the president did on his birthday and find out if this statistic is true that he scored 7 goals. So Vladimir Putin joins us from Moscow right now on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Hi, Mr. President, how are you?
How are you today?
Doing great. Well, happy birthday belatedly. I hope you had a fun 63rd.
Thank you. I did very much have a good time for birthday, and it was an excellent time for everyone, especially me, because I scored seven goals.
Seven goals. Is that, I mean, that's just not good press. That's just not them telling people you scored seven goals to make you look good. That's real?
First of all, I resent implication that the Russian press would not tell truth.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because we are open society in Russia. And what can I say? I'm excellent at hockey. I can't apologize for this. It's just it's what it is.
If the goalie makes a stop against you, though, does he die?
No.
Oh. Wow. Did you have a sweater on, or were you shirtless? Oh. Did he score again?
Oh, you're playing again. Right now?
I am playing hockey while talking on telephone.
Wow.
That's how easy it is for me. One hand stick, one hand cell phone.
Wow. That is impressive. Allie, ask the president your question again. I don't think he heard you with the goal score.
I was wondering, are you wearing a hockey sweater, or are you just going skins?
I have skates on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's all.
That's it.
Oh.
I find it very bracing to be on ice with the temperature keeping me awake, alive, making me feel alive while I'm skating with my testicles swinging.
Right.
And flowing, getting breeze. I like breeze.
Okay.
Breeze.
Okay. A lot of people have suggested that at 63 years old, many of these photos that are released to the public are just photo ops. Like, you're not really wrestling a bear. You just make it look that way so that you can appear strong.
Well, it's funny to me, America... country of supposed hope and believing and everything is so suspicious, so cynical when it comes everything to have come from Russia. You are always, it's not for real. It's not. So why don't you be less suspicious and more just understand that I kick ass.
You kick ass. Okay. All right, but so...
Get down. Come here, you bear. I will...
Are you fighting a bear?
Yes, I'm fighting bear on hockey ice.
Wow. How did a bear even get on the hockey ice?
Sometimes, you know how it is. Sometimes bear comes to play hockey.
I don't believe that.
It's true. Listen, just because things are different in my country does not make believe they're not true. Okay.
All right, well,
sometimes,
be very careful.
Once in a while, bear comes out on hockey ice. That's just a fact of life.
Well, you would know better than we, but good luck with that. Don't.
I am delivering baby. I am delivering baby during hockey game. Yes, it's okay, little bajinky. It's okay. You're okay now. You're now born.
Vladimir Putin just delivered and named a baby.
I did, yes. Wow. I delivered baby. I fight bear. I play banjo while I play hockey.
What?
I am excellent banjo player.
What?
I'm picking and grinning.
There's nothing this guy can't do. Wow, he's really going for it.
Really good.
Mr. President?
Hold on a second, big finish. I'm going to join Manfredsky and Son.
Greatest left wing in the history of the league,
Luke Robitaille.
Luke Robitaille.
I remember playing my first game at the LA Forum thinking, man, this is it, I made it.
Shot.
Robitaille shoots. He scores.
He scores, and that's what he's done for 17 years.
And Robitaille again. He scores. Luke Robitaille.
Luke Robitaille just caught the goaltender sleeping.
My name is Luke Robitaille.
Number 20 for the Los Angeles Kings. Number one in your heart. He is a Hockey Hall of Famer and the president of business operations. The return of Luke Robitaille.
Can you never
how
say
you,
that
sir?
Again, Bean?
Really? Thought it worked.
Number one in your
heart.
Hey,
Luke. How are you, man?
Very romantic. Number one in your heart.
It's really, it's creepy.
How are you?
Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you guys.
So is obviously you wish the score were different, but being back, you know, seeing your team on the ice last night, the start of a new campaign, the quest for yet another cup, is was yesterday a day you've been looking forward to all summer long?
Yeah, our summer's been way too long, and you know, we were happy to get back on the ice. I mean, we didn't get the result we expected, but it's a long year. It's kind of weird. Like last night, I was watching the news after the game, and every team that was that had the home ice last night lost.
Oh, is that right?
You know, every home opener lost. It's kind of weird. And so we just got to get back at it. It's a long season, and you know, we got to play much better on Friday.
Hockey 101. You don't want to win the first game. I've said
you want to win the last game. Hockey 101 is you want to win the last game of the year.
Exactly.
That's the big one you want to win.
Well, Luke, let me ask you about that, because there's been a lot of speculation. Look, the Kings have played so many more games than a lot of teams in the last few years because of the success, because of how long the playoffs are. Mm-hmm. Does it make a huge difference to the players to have gotten out 6 weeks early last season?
Well, yeah, the biggest difference is, first of all, like, not anymore. We haven't played the most amount of games of any team anymore, so there are no more excuses. But I would say, I think the biggest difference is if you take the year prior where you win at the end of June, so it basically takes you to July 1st, and guys usually will take 2 or 3 weeks just to rebuild their body, you know, over all the injuries. And then that kind of puts you to mid-July or towards the end of July. And then you only have August really to train, and then you're right back at camp in September. So it makes it for a very, very short summer. There's guys that they'll have to attend a few weddings. I think, you know, Anze Kopitar 2 years ago got married, and it makes your summer very short. And, you know, there's no time to train. And like this summer, our guys, they didn't just train to stay in shape. They trained to be better. And if you're going to train to get better or you want to improve something, it's going to take you 8 to 12 weeks, matter what.
With that short time in between seasons, is it harder to get over injuries?
Yeah, it's harder to get over injuries, and you're basically just trying to stay in shape. You know, then you show up back at camp, and it's right back again, and sometimes you might get that same injury again. So that's what makes it so hard in hockey to repeat. That's why we've had only one team repeat. I mean, it was Detroit in 97, 98. No one's done it since.
Well, it's every other
year
for
us. Who's on that team that you know, Luke?
I wasn't there. I was there in 02. But, you know, that was a lot of my friends on that team. They were a great team, and it's certainly, you know, it's special. But it takes a lot to do that.
Of course, yeah.
Is it harder in hockey than any other sport to repeat?
I think it's hard in any sport.
It is.
It's a tough thing because, you know, you got 30 or 32 teams in the league, and everybody, when they start the season like last night, thinks they have a shot at it, and everybody's going. And I, you know, it comes down to one or two injuries. You look at Cleveland last year, like, you know, they had a couple injuries and they didn't win, and who knows this year what's going to happen. But it's the same in our game.
Right. The Kings have been kind of fortunate, and it's been good management that you've been able to keep the core of the club intact. I mean, with all the success, you would expect to lose more players than you have, but I mean, you are basically pretty close to full strength here, right, compared to the team that won the Cup?
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, you want to keep your core, and Dean Lombardi, our GM, has always preached that we want to build a team from within. You want to have guys that, you know, kind of we drafted and they were part of our development system, so they understand what it means to be a King and they want to stay. And all the guys have to take in a little bit, you know, to help, because in our league it's a hard cap, so it's very hard to keep everybody under the cap. And you know, this is something that our guys are looking at every day. And then, you know, last year the Canadian money dropping made a huge difference in our entire world. You know, we were expecting the cap to go up $5 million. It only went up $1.5 million, so it makes a big difference.
All right, we need to take a break, unfortunately, but Luke Robitaille is here from the LA Kings talking about this upcoming season and a lot of other things in the Cup coming back to Los Angeles, of course.
All right.
Right at the top of the list, so we'll do that in a second.
Our friend Luke Robitaille in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, president of business operations for the Los Angeles Kings. By the way, Luke, a few minutes ago we were talking about this video that we saw online yesterday of a player for the Canucks, Jake Virtanen, who got hit in the face with a puck, and then it went into goal, scored a goal off of his face. And, of course, being a hockey player, he came back into the game. You ever get hit in the face with a puck?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It hurts.
How's that feel?
It hurts?
What's that like?
It's not as bad if at least it goes in the net.
Yeah.
It hurts, but you're like, I got something for it. It's when it hits you and your defenseman usually that shoots it. If it hits you and just stops there and everybody starts piling and then you get up and there's red everywhere. Yeah. I got hit a couple of times in the face. The worst one for me was in the ear, so it was ringing and it split my ear in half. And I got up. I was so mad at my defenseman because he didn't keep it down.
Right. Well, this guy, he scored a goal. He did score a goal.
That's awesome.
It went off his face into the net. Yeah, it's fantastic.
And it was just incredible to see how. I mean, of course, you hit your nose and it bleeds a lot and it bleeds fast. But you're right. I mean, the ice just fills up. It just pools. You know, it's sickening.
It happened to Marcel Dion years ago, and the guy was kind of hugging him, so his arms, he couldn't move, and it hit him right in the nose, broke his nose, and then when he got up, he started yelling at his defenseman. Meanwhile, they're all coming at him and hugging him, so he's like, oh, okay, thank you.
Let's talk about some of the. We talked about how you were good management and you know paying attention to that cap. You were able to bring the core of the cup winning club back for the Kings this season. But you do have some new players too, and I know some of them. Kevin's very excited about. How about you?
Yeah, we're very excited. I mean, obviously, getting Milan Lucic for us is a huge move. I mean, he's a big presence on the ice. He plays with a lot of emotion, and he's the type of player like if you get in a series, a 7-game series, you don't want to face every game. And so this guy, like we know, he wants to have a big year and he wants to win. And that's the kind of players we want to bring if we're going to bring new guys. Obviously, for us, bringing Christian Ayer off on defense, he moves the puck real well. So we expect big things out of him, especially on the power play. And then the other thing for us is we won a championship with our AHL team. It's like our AAA team last year. So I'm glad that we're able to give a chance to a few kids to play, like Nick Shore, Jordan Wheel. And these guys deserve a shot. I mean, Jordan Wheel was the MVP of the playoffs last year in that league. So it's kind of fun when we're giving the opportunity to some young men to come on our team.
How often do they stick? How often do they stay with the team or have to go back and, you know,
Well, they got to get the ice time, but they'll stick. I mean, we have a couple spots, and that was key for us to have a couple spots for these guys. There's a few more guys that are going to play in Ontario this year that are really good. They will get a chance to play in the NHL. Unfortunately, we lost one, Jeff O'Neill, that was the MVP of the season. Because he wasn't going to play on our roster, I think our Dean made a great move. He traded him to New Jersey. It's going to give him a chance to play in the NHL, and we got value for him. But it's the way it should be. You want to reward the guys that are playing well that are trying to get to the NHL, and these guys will stick.
It's exciting to see somebody like Tyler Toffoli, who was super young when he started playing. So he came up to the Kings and then went down. Yeah. Like he wasn't really there full time, but now he seems to be just a fantastic part of the team.
Yeah, he's part of we take a lot of pride in our player development, so our guys teaches them to not only what it takes to play in the NHL, but what it takes to be a King. And Tyler Toffoli and Tanner Pearson are a prime example of that. Like, they're great players with great talent, but they work really hard. They do all the little things right. And it's the reason we won the last cup was a lot because of those guys.
It's a lot cheaper to grow your own players, too, than it is to go out and buy them, right?
Yeah, you can't just keep buying them. I mean, it's building a culture. You have to have guys that really care for the organization, and it's very important. And, you got to have your core that they understand what it means to be here. I mean, obviously, it's a great city, but we have some amazing fans, and they show up every night. They're loud, so we want to make sure that these guys know that. And then when we bring someone from the outside, like a Milan Lucic, we want them to be wow about everything we do, the way our fans are. And that's all Milan Lucic talk about. He had no clue how it was around here, and he's having a lot of fun so far. Not last night, but he's having
right, not
a lot
last
fun
night. By the way, the one thing that I want to say about Kings fans and hockey fans in general, they are super knowledgeable compared with a lot of other sports. Like, they know Lucic, and they know everything that he can do, and Ehrhoff and all that, and everybody is super knowledgeable. It's really fun that way.
Yeah, hockey like fans are special. I mean, it's like a special group, and everybody seems to know what they're talking about,
And they're a little crazy.
Team. They're very loyal. They love their team, and you better not screw around with their team.
By the way, you talk about the fans, Luke, and I know you know this, but last night's home opener was the 132nd consecutive regular season home sellout for the Los Angeles Kings. That is a record to be proud of, my friend.
Yeah, we're going to sell out the whole year. We know that because we're capped out on season seats, and it's the loyalty our fans have shown. It's incredible. That's why, when we get to July now, we want to do whatever's best for the organization. Every summer, when it, like it's this year, the trade, not the trade line, the draft, and then for free agency, it's like, what can we do that we have a shot at winning the cup? And our fans believe in us now. They understand that's what we're trying to do. And I think that's why they're following us. They're so loyal because we know they know we'll do whatever it takes.
Is Dean Lombardi the best GM?
Well, yeah, he's done an incredible job for us. I mean, he's, you know, you look at, you know, he preached patience for a long time. And then you look at where we're at now. And then, you know, we didn't win last year. We didn't make the playoffs. But even though we were a contender to win the cup, it's kind of funny. But then, yeah, you turn around and our farm team wins the championship. It's pretty amazing.
Yep. Luke Robitaille here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about the Los Angeles Kings, their quest for the cup again. I have to ask you about another story that's been big in the news this week in the world of hockey, and that is Rafi Torres and his suspension for the Sharks. It's the longest suspension in NHL history, 41 games for an illegal check to the head of a player for Anaheim. Do you think that was a reasonable call, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, it's they tell us, they send videos over and over again. They say you cannot hit the head, and they're trying to protect players. They're making a statement, and it's very important. And unfortunately for Rafi, I mean, I don't know if you could go on YouTube and you see there's like, I think it's like 7 videos. Every time he's gotten suspended, it's the same hit.
Yeah.
So you got to learn. If you get suspended once for doing something, like, you're dumb if you do it again.
Yeah.
and all the games that he's been suspended, it's been the same thing. It's always at the end. You kind of reach over, hit the guy in the head, and you got to protect the head. I mean, you know, we all know, everybody's aware of concussion, how bad it is in sports, and this is something that was, you know, I think it was a statement by the league, and he's just got to be, he's got to really learn a lesson there. And never
well, the second half
again.
Of my question for you, Luke, as a management guy, is do you let it get to the point where he's suspended 5, 6, 7 times for the same thing? If you were in the Sharks organization, would you have wanted to cut him?
I don't know what's going to happen now. I mean, last time it happened was 2 years ago, and then last year he missed the entire season, so sometimes you almost forget. You know, like I could see, like maybe a gym would almost forget. Everybody likes his intensity. The kid's a great player. Actually, he works hard. He plays hard. It's just you can't be a predator out there. You got to hit people. Like Dustin Brown hits really hard on our team.
Yeah,
but he never hits anyone in the head. I mean, he caught one guy one time, but I know it was like an accident, and he got suspended for it. But it was an accident. It's not like he reached over and. He's never been caught again. He knows exactly what he needs to be done. He's a much harder hitter than Rafi Torres is.
Matt Green almost knocked a guy off of the ice with his ass. That was one of the best hip checks I've ever seen since, like, you know, Blake back in the day. I mean, that was a great, great hit.
That was a statement. Matt Green wants to win, and he wants to make sure he tells our guys, hey, guys, we're not going to accept losing. And it was a statement. He's a leader in our team, and you know, it might not have worked yesterday, but those are things that they just keep coming, and that's how you become a better team all year. And guys like Matt Green, that's why we have him, because they're great leaders on and off the ice.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, B.
I know we're almost out of time.
What?
I know. It goes by so fast, Luke. Every time you're here, we want to keep you all day. But you told Kevin a story last night at the game that he shared briefly with us this morning that cracks me up as much as anything I've ever heard. Would you mind sharing that with the K-Rock audience?
Okay, but first of all, I never do that. Okay.
All right.
I never used that card except that one time. It was like, you know, at Staples Center we have all kinds of ushers, and it switch over because sometimes we have 2 games in one day, and this, you know, and many times as my staff know, I forget my pass. You know, we have these pass that you could go all anywhere in the building. So, but they kind of know me, most of them.
People
so
do.
So this one game, I can't remember what it was. It was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and we had like, there was an emergency. There was something going on. It was about halfway through the first period. As I'm walking the hallway, this guy kind of stopped me, and he puts his hand on my chest. He goes, I need to see an idea to keep walking. And I go, you know, I'm a nice guy, but you're still a player. Every once in a while, as a player, you flip the switch, you know. You get suspended a couple times in your career, and kind of, you know, if you're going to play a sport and block shots, and you got to be a little
stupid.
You're
a little stupid, crazy.
You know? So you chucked him into the wall.
A word. So anyway, I look at the guy, and my eyes kind of cross. I go, what? My pass? What are you talking about? And he goes, excuse me, sir, you can't go. And I go, well, I'm going. Like, and then he blocks me again, and he keeps stopping me. And I'm like,
did you drop
your gloves? I had to go across.
Drop your gloves and start fighting?
I didn't drop the glove. I go, So basically what I said, I said, you want to effing pass? So I said, here, come with me. And I grab him by the hand and I put him inside the Bull Staples Center. I go, here's my pass. And I pointed at my jersey.
Retired jersey.
That was not really nice. But then I went back and apologized. I said, you're doing a good job. You're doing a really good job. You know, it was me. I got to have my pass. So sorry. But I couldn't help myself.
But we're almost out of time. I do want to mention your charity, though, because it's a great charity. We just went in Vegas. We had a poker tournament to talk about it. Tell people about that.
Well, basically what we do is we go see youth at risk in all different places that they you know, that they foster youth. And then we talk with them. And the kids that want to go to school, want to go to college, we help them through it. Because these kids have never had help. They've never had, like, they don't have a parent. They don't have anybody to support them. And the rate of success, like 3% of those kids end up like graduating.
So they're in foster care.
They're in foster care. And then when they come out of the system, we make sure we see them all the way through. And then what we found out, my wife and I, is like those kids, 60% of those kids end up homeless. So when you drive around L.A. and you see all the people homeless, you wonder where they come from. They usually come from the system. So we're making sure they succeed, they graduate, and we hopefully help them having a job. And then what we find is, like, they're helping kids like them. And the idea is you go to all these places that the after-school program is, we want to make sure that kids know that if they care, they're willing to work, there is someone that will see them all the way through. And we will feel that, you know, the more kids we can help, you know, we can help one of the biggest problems we have in this town.
And it's amazing to hear them talk because they all talk about their parents.
Yeah,
you,
my wife.
Yeah, they talk
my
about like
mom.
Yeah. I mean, really, she is, yeah. And you're their dad.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
And they really believe that, and it's great to hear. It's inspirational.
It's pretty neat. Yeah, it's fun.
What's the website for that, Luke?
It's echoesofhope.org.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Great. All right, we are now officially out of time, but here's a parting gift for the great from the great Lou Robitaille, who has handed us some tickets to give away to an upcoming LA Kings game. This is versus the Minnesota Wild. That's coming up next week on October the 16th at Staples Center. If you want to see some hockey up close,
and
courtesy
you do,
of Luke Robitaille, and you do,
yeah.
You do, give us a call right now. Callers 20 through 24, and you'll win them from the world-famous K-Rock, 1-800-520-1067. Luke, we love you, brother. Thanks so much for coming
in.
We'll do it again soon, okay?
Great to see you guys.
Thank you, man. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:56.
Want to win tickets to go see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl? Your chance in just a few minutes coming up. Also, actor Zachary Levi will join us too. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday.
Chuck.
Yeah. Chuck.
He was Chuck.
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 He's a bad dude on this Heroes Reborn, man.
Where are you, Chuck?
Is he a bad mamma jamma?
He is.
He's a bad mamma jamma.
He's that too.
Yeah. I've been waiting for years to play that.
Feel pretty good about yourself?
Well, it really does. Look at him.
I hit a button and something worked. Yay!
Now you said the name and it finally...
Where are you, Chuck? I got it. I got it when it happened.
Boom.
It made sense.
I see the correlation.
We were here.
So
we're
talking about a
yeah.
show
so
about Chuck
right
and
now.
Then you played some audio that actually had something to do with what we're talking about.
Why do I still have
congratulations.
That?
Congratulations. No. Good for you. Well
And
done.
More importantly, why didn't you drop the mic and just walk out of the studio after you hit the button?
Yeah, it's really quite the accomplishment that you played some audio that was germane to the conversation. Congratulations. No, I'm giving
Come
you props.
Come on, man.
It's great. You're like my cousin who finally tied his shoes at 30. We were all very pleased.
And shut up, Allie.
There was
not that funny.
There was a lot of celebration going
shut
on.
Shut up,
in our family.
So. Kevin, God damn it.
No, hey, Kevin, you're really making progress.
Cranky.
It's great. Rehab is really helping, I think. All right, let's try this again. Rock and Roll
Where
Hall
are
of Fame.
Chuck?
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced their nominees for the 2016 induction ceremony this morning. And it's full list, big list of nominees. Some people just do not belong there. Others, well overdue for this honor. So
and
let's take a look at some of them.
Is the rule, is there 25 years? Is that the rule for this?
Yeah, 25 years after your first album, musical release, I believe.
That's I think so, yeah.
Here you go. Chicago.
Yes.
Come on. You can't deny that they have just been significant and around for a long time and
I know it's impactful. It's very tough for people now to think of Chicago as, you know, they're a soft rock,
yeah,
boring band for the last 20 years. But for the first 20 years,
they were incredible and rocking and guitars and the whole deal. They even were beyond, a rock band back then.
Yeah, but even beyond rocking, their integration of brass mm-hmm. with rock and roll music, you know, other than like Earth, Wind & Fire and a few other bands, very few people did it as well or successfully as Chicago.
I think I would be a yes on Chicago in the Rock and Roll Hall.
All right, absolutely.
Let me get down Bean Alley's yeah. votes yep. here for the Rock and Roll
Hall. Are we
because,
voting?
Because the Hall yeah. has asked me to wow. keep a tally of what Bean and Alley thought, whether
well,
they would put them
I'm
in or
a
not.
Yes,
so.
Definitely.
Kevin, how about you yeah. on Chicago? Are you in or out for Chicago?
I don't care, really.
Not really.
All right. He just keeps replaying "Where Are You, Chuck?" in his head over and over again. He's just reliving that moment.
Where are you, Chuck?
I did that. Honey, you just see what happened to work today. Somebody on the show said the name Chuck, and then I played some thing, and it was Chuck. It was amazing. Do we have any mac and cheese in the fridge?
It's America.
Cheap trick. Cheap trick.
Yes.
Cheap mother loving trick.
I'm a yes.
Cheap trick. All right, Bean's a yes on Cheap Trick. Okay. Mm-hmm. Deep Purple. Deep Purple.
I don't know enough about them to even...
They're British prog rock, sort of early prog rock band. They're fine.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, too.
So we're at... The Cars?
Yes.
I like The Cars.
Sure.
Sure.
Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
I'm a no.
Yeah, what's she doing on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame list?
Well,
R&B,
see, the thing.
Dance? I can give you a lot of things, but no.
They have Donna Summers in the Rock and Roll
know,
Hall of
Fame. I know. That was the beginning of the end. That's when yeah. the boat started to leak. Now we're bailing furiously.
Now we're talking about Chic and bands like that. I mean, they definitely have expanded the definition.
Being jumped the gun, but Chic is next on the list.
Aw, yeah. Freak out. No?
Yeah.
These are the
I think that
times?
Was less no. chic.
C'est chic.
Yeah. The JBs. The JBs.
Oh, the JBs.
Oh,
do good
the JBs.
Oh, I love the JBs.
Not
Ooh.
To be confused with the BJs. Ooh, the JBs. The
very
JBs.
Different.
James Brown's backup band.
Ah. Don't, well, no. No, we're going to start inducting backup bands, really?
I think
do we have that
E
much
Street,
room?
I think the E Street Band are in as an example of somebody in separate from Bruce Springsteen.
Janet Jackson. Is on the list.
What?
Hell no.
Right?
Hell no.
Right?
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous. That's an insult.
What?
Yeah, I don't, no.
Los Lobos? How will the wolf survive, man? You don't
Great
know.
Great question.
You don't know.
I don't know.
Kevin, you don't know.
I don't.
I love Los Lobos.
I love
I
them,
think,
too.
I think they should be in.
Yeah, I don't care.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
Steve Miller? Hello? Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Well, Steve I mean, again, the, you know, he's a
Hold on.
An artist with a great catalog for
yes.
decades.
And
but
beyond
he...
that, he's a joker, he's a smoker, and let's not forget he's a midnight toker.
Yeah.
He's all
right.
of those
he's
things.
All
that's
those
true.
Things. That's true.
I don't know that he, you know, did anything original. You know, he's just a nice pop singer in the blues tradition. I don't know that he brought anything new to the game.
Abracadabra, like I'm going to reach out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to reach out and grab you.
That's yeah. a good so reason no. to keep That's it out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'm voting no.
N.W.A.
What?
Come on.
Nothing says rock and roll
Come
like N.W.A.
On. Stop it. Stop it, Jan Wiener.
Based on the parameters of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, N.W.A. should be in.
What?
What happened? What just happened?
What the?
He's saying based on...
Based on what they've demonstrated in the past in terms of what their guidelines are, N.W.A. should be in.
Okay.
As being a band that was influential.
Based on the name of the building where
this
is held?
No, 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 no. The parameters. The parameters
no,
of
no,
previous
I'm saying,
inductees.
Based on the fact that the name of the Hall of Fame is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'm going to
okay.
deny.
Okay.
Denied!
They should be in, and they will be in on the first ballot. There's no question they're going to be inducted.
Why should they be in? Why are you defending this?
Because they, look, they
Ralph
may not
I
have played
denying it. Allie?
If they're in, then every woman Chaka Khan is in.
Let her, let Janet
yeah.
Jackson in, let everybody
yes.
Just let everybody in. Any kind of music, you play any kind of music, just put go in the Rock and Roll
it
of Fame.
It means nothing
Doesn't
anymore.
Matter. It's ruined. Nine Inch Nails. Now there's a band
yes.
you can put in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and feel good about yourself in the
Absolutely.
Morning.
Absolutely.
Not like Bean with his N.W.A. where you have to
N.W.A.
look himself
should
in the
be
mirror.
In, and so should Nine Inch Nails.
Nine Inch Nails, easy.
Okay. Smiths?
Oh.
Sure.
I would think so.
The Spinners?
No.
Oh, why? N.W.A. been those Spinners? Why? Because they're black? Because the Spinners are black? Is that why?
There's no Wait, comparison what? Between Wait, the two in terms of originality and impact and influence. There's no comparison.
But there
working their way back to you, Bean.
And yes.
Yes.
I'm no to yes.
Absolutely.
I'm yes to yes.
What, you're no to yes?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How can you be no to yes?
I think I'm no to yes.
What?
How can you be no to yes?
What is wrong with you two?
You can't be yes to NWA and no to yes.
Of course you can.
No, you can't.
I don't care. I just wanted to be no to yes.
One of the quintessential progressive rock bands in history. More influential
does
in that genre
get in,
than
Ralph?
Anything else.
Does everybody get
if,
in?
If it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you're darn tootin'. Sorry to use that kind of language. All right, we're way late.
We'll edit that out. Don't worry.
Celebrity birthdays today. Jesse Jackson, Chevy Chase, Sigourney Weaver, Daryl Hammond, Matt Hammond. Nope, Matt Damon. Daryl and Matt, both of Hammonds. Nick Cannon, Travis Pastrana, Bruno Mars, and Bella Thorne. Happy birthday, Bella Thorne. Oh, Bella Thorne.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 11 minutes after 8 o'clock.
We are nothing today, Kevin, if not barely on the air. That's why our friend Jim Rome joins us via telephone today, but you'll be hearing him in glorious AM stereo on AM 980 The Beast starting at 9 o'clock this morning. Hey, Jim, welcome to The Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Fellas, good morning. How do I sound?
Sound good, man. Sound good.
That's a lie.
Well, listen, we got a lot of things we want to talk about, but I want to start with this that came up since last night. Is there ever any excuse for a bench clearing brawl in baseball ever?
Yeah, this is what these guys do, right? I mean,
as you would say, it's a bad look, though, right, Jim?
It's a great look. Give me another reason to watch baseball if the benches aren't going to clear. That was some of your best. Entertainment. You just generally don't see something like that go down in a winner-take-all one-game situation. But you could see Pittsburgh, they were getting worn out. They got frustrated. It's 2 years in a row they've got done like that, and finally they just snapped. That was the frustration getting the better of them. But actually, that's not a bad thing.
You don't think so? Okay.
No.
Briefly, now that we're into the playoffs, now that all the teams are set, we know who's going for what. Big times in Southern California this weekend as the Dodgers host the New York Mets. Now, I haven't paid a lot of attention to the amazing Mets this year, but I understand they pretty much have been in first place all season long, and they're really, really good.
They're really good, but I feel great about the Dodgers right now. You've got to feel good about them because they've got two of the best big game pitchers. Well, we're going to find out about Clayton Kershaw, but they've got two of the best pitchers going in games one and two. And the Mets ace, Matt Harvey, went bonehead right before the series started. I don't know if you guys saw this, but he missed a mandatory workout on Tuesday, flat out missed it, and then he played the card that he got stuck in traffic. You know how that goes, right? The media goes online, they check out traffic patterns. It's a big lie. So then the guy doubles back with, yeah, well, I just kind of lost track of time. He lost track of time. So not a good look for him, not a good look for them, and the Dodgers, to me, are in the right spot at the right time. I love them in this series.
That's fantastic. All right, a couple of crazy sports stories this week, and I know that you are especially excited about this one that a lot of our listeners may not have even heard about that involves Matt Barnes and Derek Fisher. Tell us the story, Jim.
Finally, you get to the good stuff. All right, so Matt Barnes plays for Memphis. Derek Fisher is the head coach of the New York Knicks, and they are former teammates. Story goes that Barnes is in Santa Barbara with his team working out. He hears from somebody that Derek Fisher is at his house with his wife. Now they're in the process of getting a separation, Barnes and his wife. But Barnes gets wind of this, reportedly snaps, decides he's going to drive 95 miles and give Fisher the hands. And of course he does, because he's Matt Barnes, right?
So
this guy literally is in a backyard party, and they're in some kind of scrap. He went 95 miles to get a piece of Fisher because Fisher was hanging with his wife. So not a good thing. Like, for instance, violence is never the answer, and I don't condone what Barnes allegedly did. But what did he think Fisher was going to happen? Or what did Fisher think was going to happen when he pretty much violated the dude code and the teammate code?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also not a surprise that Matt Barnes would do that, right? That's sort of
at all.
That's
no.
A given.
Hey, look, we know who will go and who will not go. Right. We know that Matt Barnes will go. If you ever look him up on YouTube, look up Matt Barnes fighting. It goes like two pages for NBA games alone.
And so both genders.
If he's going to the hands over a hard foul, what do you think he's going to do when a former teammate is hanging out with his wife in his house?
Yeah.
He's going to go to the hands.
Look, stories like this happen every single day in every single city across America. We would be naive if we did not expect it would happen with sports with athletes.
Yeah, but not to the head coach of the New York Knicks,
that's
not a former teammate. I mean, that's not good. The Knicks, they may have gone 17-65 last year, but sex goes 82-0 every single year.
What?
Again, I don't condone this, but what is Derek Fisher thinking? I mean, how many women are there in the world? You got to roll with an ex-teammate's wife? then that ex-teammate who you know will go?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
not
a crazy
the best decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right, and one more story with Jim Rome, and this is another one that's just it's just another wacky athlete story, and this involves Victor Cruz of the New York Giants, who may be in trouble with his lady. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's a good story. Not as good as the other story, but a good story nonetheless. According to a gossip website, fellas, his fiance busted him for running around on her with multiple women, and by multiple, I mean as many as 200, reportedly.
200?
Detect this. So the fiance hits these women with a group text so, you know, they can all get to know each other a little bit better. And in her words, and I quote, so we can all know who we have been bleeping for the past several months, end quote. She put that on a group text. Now, I don't know about you guys, but where I grew up, on the mean streets of Calabasas, that we have a phrase for that. Straight fire.
818.
Kidding. A group text so they all know who they have been bleeping.
I want all 200 of those ladies to appear on the next episode of the Jerry Springer Show. That's
what I want.
Why
do you think this guy's not played since last October? Apparently he's been having sex with anybody who gets near him.
He's so tired.
Right?
That's,
hope you guys have him in your fantasy fornicating league.
Jim Rome works weekdays 9 to noon on AM 980 The Beast here in Southern California and on hundreds of great radio stations throughout the United States. Plus, check them out on Showtime with new episodes as well. Jim, we'll get you back on the fancy bird next week, but thanks for jumping on the phone with us this morning. We appreciate
it. You legends, keep it real.
Thank you, man. All right. Thank you, Jim.
Bye now. All right.
Fun guy. All right. Phones are open. That means it's time for you to call us at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, why should people waste their morning calling the Kevin Bean Show right now?
Well, we're giving away tickets to see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl.
What?
Sweet.
You're going to have to earn them. It's going to be painful. Uh-oh. Sorry, but it's The Cure.
Yeah.
If you're a Cure fan, if you know Cure songs, then I am afraid you probably know what's coming. It's going to hurt, but you're going to end up with tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl on May 22nd. Tickets are on sale tomorrow, but you can win them right now. Call us at the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
You are looking so
good.
Sexy,
thank
Omar.
You, thank you. I feel sexy. I feel sexy.
So sexy.
I feel like I should be rubbing my nipples.
So sexy.
That's the voice of our friend DJ Omar Khan. By the way, I know he's here for a completely different reason, but let me just put it out there. If you are having any kind of an event, any kind of a party or a wedding or a reunion, whatever it is, am I right about this, Kevin? DJ Omar Khan is your guy.
Correct.
Yeah.
He is great at his job, and DJOmarKhan.com is where you want to go if you want information or you want to get in contact or hire him for an upcoming event. Omar, you are a longtime Cure fan. They've got to be your favorite K-Rock band since you were a little kid, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Ever since probably junior high.
Yep. So this is a big deal for you that The Cure is coming back to town. They're playing the Hollywood Bowl on May 22nd. I know that seems like it's a long ways away, but tickets are going on sale tomorrow for their show, and they have just added a second date on May 23rd. We're going to give away two pairs of tickets to go see The Cure, courtesy of the world-famous K-Rock, right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call Omaroki.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
And to get in the mood to sing these Cure songs, Allie McKay, what'd you do to Omar this morning?
I put some red lipstick on him that he then smeared across his face, and some black eye for him. Yeah. He actually looks more like Adamant, but he still looks great.
If Adamant was a murderer.
Yes.
That's what he looks like.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so you feel like with the makeup, you're ready to be Robert Smith. Is that what you can do for our listeners
absolutely.
Here?
Absolutely.
Remember that time
songs.
The King of Mexico partied with Robert?
Yeah.
And you weren't there? Remember that?
I was passed out.
That was funny.
That was pretty awesome.
All right, let's get our first contestant counted and explain how Omaroki works.
All right, David is on the line from Southgate. Hey, David.
Hi, how are you doing?
Unfortunately, Omar is going to sing a song, and you just have to tell us the title.
Sure.
It's going to be hard, though, because he's terrible.
And it will be a Cure song, okay?
Right.
So listen up. Here's Omaroki, contestant number one. Good luck, David.
I tried to laugh about it, cover it all up with lies. I tried to laugh about it, hiding the tears in my eyes, because...
Boys, don't cry.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow, you guys could go on tour.
Just like that.
David, you are in the drawing. Hold on, my friend. By the way, Omar, you've heard that song before, right?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't really tell the way you were saying
it. All right.
Who's next?
Next is Adam in Long Beach. Hi there.
Hello.
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 Hello. You ready?
Yes.
Here's Omar with the song.
Spinning on that dizzy edge, I kissed her face and kissed her head, and dreamed of all the different ways I had to make her glow. Why are you so far away?
Wow. That's plenty. Thank you, Elf.
Okay.
That's fine.
That
that's
I'm fine. In love right. with you.
No, 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 no. We got it. Yeah. We got it right here. Adam.
Pictures of you.
Oh. Oh. What?
What?
Sorry, so sorry. Just like heaven.
That's what we were looking for. Thank you for playing anyway. Who's up next?
Next is Chris in Long Beach. Hi there.
Hey, what's going on?
We are doing Omaroki for Cure tickets. Here is your song.
Just try to see in the dark. Just try to make it work to feel the fear before you're here. I make the shapes come too close. I pull my eyes out, hold my breath, and wait until I shake.
It sounds like he's making up lyrics as he goes, doesn't he?
It's damn good.
Oh, man.
Chris, what song?
That was close to me.
That was close to
me. Yes!
The dog.
There's
all right.
Thank you. Didn't think Chris was going to get that. You are in the drawing as well, sir. Good luck.
Let's go to Matthew in Southgate. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you. We're doing Omaroki. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Remembering you, standing quiet in the rain, as I ran to your heart to be near, and we kissed as the sky fell in the
yes, he said it. He said
putting
it.
Putting us out of our misery. Thank you.
All right, 3 out of 4 in the drawing so far. Not too bad. I'm hoping we don't have to do too many more, though.
Matt in San Gabriel, hi.
Hey, it's me.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, it's me. What?
You say it's
what
me or
that
Nate?
It's me, Matt.
Me or Nate? What'd you say?
My name's Matt. It's me.
Matt. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, okay.
I feel this is going well.
Okay. I'm Kevin. That's Bean. This is Allie.
Hey, Matt.
And Omar.
Hey,
nice
I'm Omar.
You guys. I'm
oh.
Matt.
Right. And Omar is now going to sing for you.
Okay, cool.
Yesterday I got so scared I shivered like a child. Yesterday away from you it froze me deep inside. Come back, don't walk away. Come back today.
You only have the one melody you sing for all the songs, right, Omar?
Pretty sure no.
Matt, what is it?
Sure no.
It sounds like Boys Don't Cry Again. I think I got it wrong.
It does sound like that, but it's Dude, not.
Yeah.
He has all the music
right?
and all that yeah. going on.
Right, sure.
Yeah. All right, how about one more and then we just cut our losses and call it a night.
Phil in Anaheim, hi.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin, Bean, Allie?
Hey,
it's
me.
Well. Hey, it's me.
Awesome. Hi.
Here we
Hello,
go.
Hello, Omar.
Hey. You ready?
Sing it good for me.
All right.
We're so wonderfully, 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 wonderfully pretty. Oh, you know that I'd do anything for you. We should have each other for tea, huh? We should eat each other with cream. Then curl up by the fire and sleep for a while. It's the grooviest thing. It's the perfect dream.
Wow, that hurts.
That's fine. That's fine. That's okay.
It's the only way to land the love cat.
Boom. Yeah!
Look at
that.
Yeah, oh my.
Bringing it.
All right. I'm so glad that's done. Phil, you are in the drawing, as is Matthew. Chris as well. And on line one, our first contestant was David. Unfortunately, only two will win their way in to see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl May 22nd. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Allie, who are our winners, please?
David and Phil.
David and Phil. Congratulations and thanks for playing this painful game.
Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
I was thinking about our friend Zachary Levi the other day. Kevin and I was thinking, you know what this dude needs is another TV show. And sure enough, he's got one. He is part of Heroes Reborn, a special 13-part series on NBC Thursday nights at 8. That's not even the right button. And he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock right now. Hey, Zach, how are you, buddy?
You got to work out your button situation.
Yeah. Right? Sorry to buzz you first thing.
Hey, I could have accidentally hit this one instead.
Asshole.
I mean, it's just right under my fingertips, you know? So, anyway, how you been?
I love that I got Weezer as my intro music. It's like my favorite band. It worked out perfect.
Have you heard, I'm sure you have, you're online, have you heard the Weezer Kanye West mashup album that somebody did?
What?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
What is this?
It's pretty great.
What is this madness?
Yes.
That's exactly
so, I mean,
what it is.
Somebody did just like a few years ago with that White Album, Black Album mashup that DJ Danger Mouse did. This is the exact same
totally.
Thing where they took Kanye lyrics and mixed it up with the Weezer stuff. You can find it at krock.com if you want to. The whole thing's there. It's really good.
Hey, Bean, I have the clip, a short clip if you want to hear it.
Zach, you want to hear it?
I'm gonna leave that for my listening pleasure, and I say pleasure in quotes later, because I don't know that I want Kanye talking all over my Weezer. But,
really?
But, well, I don't know, man. The Yeezy situation has got me uneasy.
I support everything you're saying right now.
He's not lovable, if that's what you're saying.
Exactly.
I think he's super talented and creative and all that, but I just can't get around the idea. But anyway, love Weezer. Love him.
As President Obama said, Kanye West is a jackass, but he's a very talented jackass. I mean, that's where we have
there
to
you go.
It.
But, there you
by
go.
By the way,
Obama
and I know this
and I
isn't,
agree on something. Look at that.
I know this isn't what you called to talk about, but do you know the Weezer guys at all?
Yeah, I've met a few of them before. Weezer came through and did a Blue Album Pinkerton back-to-back nights at the Universal Amphitheater, and mm-hmm. it was just massive. Like, obviously Blue Album is so iconic, and Pinkerton, I'm a huge Pinkerton fan, and they stopped playing that music years ago because it got panned, and right. Rivers was just really bummed about it, obviously. I mean, it was a really personal album for him, so it was so hard to ever hear them ever play Pinkerton. And so when they came through and played them, you know, back to back, like on a Saturday, Sunday, or whatever, it was just like a dream come true. So I got to go and I met some of the dudes, and I mean, I'm just such a huge fan. I'm, you know, it was kind of the beginning of what people called nerd rock, and as a, you know, kind of nerdy dude myself in some regards, it definitely spoke to me a lot. But it's just so good. So
yeah.
You know, I really hope they keep making music, and I hope Rivers believes in the talent that he has. I hope that he believes in the Pinkerton stuff more. And I think his fans have showed him that. I think, you know.
I think so, too. I think we've been lucky enough to have those guys on for every album since the beginning, and they're frequent guests. And I think they are becoming more and more comfortable with all phases of their career. So it's
yeah,
great. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about – we're doing great. Let's talk about you. We were surprised. I was surprised anyway. Were you when you heard the word that they were going to bring back Heroes?
You know, I guess, you know, to an extent, I was a little surprised. But then again, you know, Hollywood has very much gotten into this routine of, you know, trying to find former projects, IPs, you know, converting films into television shows into films, bringing certain films back, reboots, all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't that surprising. And obviously Heroes was a massive success, you know, certainly the first few years of its run
right.
Back in the day. So I, you know, when I saw the article on Deadline or Variety, I was like, oh yeah, okay. I could see NBC trying to do that. And recapture some of the former audience. And what I loved about it was that it was a mini series. I, you know, having done Chuck for 5 years, and it was a, you know, it was a beast. I mean, it was a beast of a show, and I really needed to take a break from that kind of a schedule. But I love the idea of a series, because I just feel like you can tell more of a story. Movies sometimes don't really leave you with all of the story that you wanted. And if you have a series that goes like 7 years, sometimes it's way more story than you needed, but a 13 episode miniseries is a really, you know, has a good opportunity to tell like a good beginning, middle, and end, like a good book, you know. And I thought, hey, that's cool. Let's look into that. And I contacted, you know, my friends at NBC, and they were into the idea of me being a part of it. And, you know, one thing led to another, and then I was a part of it.
When I started watching Heroes Reborn, I was excited to see you. And then I realized that your character, Luke, is you're a dick.
Yeah, he's not nice.
You're not a nice guy.
No. Well,
what happened?
That was actually kind of part of what I wanted to do. You know, most of the roles that I've played in my career, that I've been blessed to play in my career, have been good-hearted people, and I'm grateful for all that work that I've gotten. But at the same time, as much as you as an actor can challenge yourself and challenge your audience's perceptions of who you are and what you do, I think it's important that you do that. So I sat down with Tim Kring and I said, look, man, the only prerequisite that I really have is, you know, aside from, hey, let's go make some really great storytelling and great content, I want to play somebody who's darker and grittier and a little more messed up. And so he came back to me with the character of Luke Collins, and I was like, yep, that sounds like a good idea. Let's jump into that. But he's, you know, as the series continues, you'll see, I mean, he's not just a black and white villain by any stretch. He's a twisted. He's messed up.
He's got a lot of pain. A lot of pain in his past too.
He's got a lot of pain. Yeah, he and his wife lost their son in this horrible accident that was like, you know, kind of considered a terrorist attack, and it's blamed on Evos, people with abilities, and so they just kind of lose their minds and go off the rails and you know, think that to avenge their son's life and also to make the world, in this, you know, twisted logic, to make the world a better place, they have to go and essentially exterminate Evos. And but murder, you know, murder does a number on one soul.
You don't have to tell me.
Yeah. Hey, wait, Allie, did you just say that out loud?
I'm sorry.
You said that out loud.
I'm sorry.
Apologies.
Well, a therapist is on their way. Also, so are the police. It's a complex journey for Luke and his wife, and I liked that. You know, I wanted to play something that had some layers to it and this is just as wasn't cut and dry. That, you know,
sure,
forced people to kind of, you know, look at this guy and who's a little morally ambiguous. And to me, those are kind of the greatest characters. I mean, you know, I watch Game of Thrones, and one of the reasons I love it so much is that, you know, it's really hard sometimes to nail down who's a good guy and who's a bad guy. Sometimes it's pretty clear-cut bad guys. But then sometimes it's characters, and you're like, oh, my God, I hate that person. And then a few episodes later, you get a little more story, and something's revealed. You go, actually, I don't hate them so much because I kind of get it. Like,
people are complicated, man. Very few people are black and white in real life, and it's nice to see that reflected on TV. How was it for you shooting a gun, Zach? Did you have any experience with that at all?
Yeah. I mean, I got to shoot guns on Chuck. I mean, for the most part, I used trank guns because Chuck never liked using real guns or actually, you know, hurting anybody.
Right, but you're mowing people down on Heroes Reborn. I'm just wondering if that's a weird headspace to be in, you know?
Yeah, well, that I've never done, thank God. And don't intend to, but I am actually, like, I own some guns. I have them all locked in a safe. I go to the shooting range with my friends, and so I've had some experience, certainly, handling firearms. And, you know, I think it's something that people need to be very responsible with, obviously. And, look, especially in light of everything that's gone on in the country, you know, it's a pretty gnarly topic, you know, to get into with people.
No, of course,
I see both sides of it, and but yes, I have had experience with firearms, and you use that in the show. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. The first couple episodes, especially. I mean, there's no holding back. You know, they really go for it.
That's exactly right. All right, Zachary Levi on the line. The show is called Heroes Reborn. It airs Thursday nights at 8 on NBC. And I just want to give out, as we say goodbye, Zach, I just want to give out a real quick plug for your Geeks Who Drink that I've caught a couple times on Sci-Fi 2, which is so fun. You are so comfortable as a talk show host. But I guess when you get to drink that much while you work, it makes it a lot easier to be fun, right?
Well, you know, they do call it a social lubricant for a reason.
Yeah. Exactly, yes. Yeah. You're so charming when you're drunk.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. You know, it was a super fun run. I hope we get to do more. We had the finale of that, I think, last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. But we only did 12 in the first run, and we're talking about doing more. But, you know, that's up to Sci-Fi. We'll see. But, it was a lot of fun. I got to executive produce it, so it was kind of my baby. And then they asked me after that, hey, we'd love for you to host it. And I had never hosted a game show before. Didn't think I was going to. And I was like, okay, well, I've never done this, but let's go.
Well, you were really good at it. And I could tell you had some genuine affection for a bunch of your geek friends that came on to drink and play the game too. So it was really, it was a lot of fun. It was really fun.
I really
appreciate
that.
All right. You're actually an entertainment mogul now. Would you consider yourself a mogul?
I think I would say no. I would say that.
It seemed like an easy yes.
Maybe
to me,
a mogulito? Like a tiny...
A mogulito. There
yeah,
you go.
Let's go with that.
Way to apply Spanish into it. I really
no problemo.
We are all agree.
The whitest girl ever.
Wow. All right, Zach. We got to go, man, but we love you. Thanks for calling in.
I love you, too. God bless you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Zach. Bye. It is 8:54. Dr. Drew. You know him, the guy who kills all those guys at rehab and then backs up all those teen moms.
Nope. Yep.
Joins us like he does every Thursday morning, just after 9, coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. First, Ralph's here with the show, Biz Beat. What's going on?
He should be required to wear a picture of Andy Dick around his neck.
So when he goes around telling people, success.
"Oh, I'm gonna cure everybody. I get people off drugs." Yeah, how about that guy?
Wow. In fairness, he doesn't cure anyone.
He does.
He tries to help people.
He gives
cure
you that
themselves.
Oil. He sells you that bottle of oil.
There's no oil.
And then he puts his hand on your head and goes,
nope.
"Heal!" That, and you're supposed to get up and want drugs anymore.
Not him at all.
How about Andy Dick?
That's not him at all.
Okay,
not even a little bit.
Just saying. Right? Who's with me?
I'm with you. God. I'm 100% with you.
See? Bean knows.
Sure. Do you want Bean on your side?
Mm.
Yeah, right?
Boy, it's a coin flip. The little cute little kid from Old Yeller, Kevin Corcoran, has passed away. Have you ever seen that film or, Toby Tyler or Thumbelina or Babes in Toyland or... Swiss Family Robinson, just pretty much any movie Disney made in the late 50s, early 60s. You remember him. And
he is a dick.
He is not. No. He was a good guy. Was a child star. Then, like many child stars, he lost work as he grew, as he got older. He stopped working as an actor. But
asshole.
He was not an asshole. He made an interesting transition, started to become an assistant director, then producer. He was a co-producer of Sons of Anarchy and The Shield.
No kidding.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
He does not
have a wooden hand. But he carved out a very successful career for himself behind the camera. Real success story. Real true Hollywood happy ending. So, sadly, he passed away.
He's the man who invented Booyah!
Situation.
Just everyone just play it all. Just get it out of your system.
Douchebag!
The Voice! The Voice.
The Voice.
The Voice?
The show. It's on NBC.
Voice.
The Voice.
Christina Aguilera is returning to The Voice. She's going to be a coach next season.
Interesting.
Yes.
Now, wait, what am I missing? Why is it
for the next season? Starts in February. Brings back Adam Levine, Blake Shelton, Pharrell Williams, and Christina Aguilera. That means Gwen Stefani will not be a coach on the next season, which means
they're going on
solo
tour.
I'm thinking No Doubt tour, right?
No Doubt.
We're overdue for a big fat No Doubt tour.
I like
that'd
it.
Be great,
don't you think? Let's just say it, maybe it'll become so.
That's how it works.
They'll feel pressured into going out because those guys said it, maybe we should do it, right? That's how it usually works.
I'm so excited about the new No Doubt tour. This is going to be great.
Boom. We make things happen.
That's alleged.
Look at how fast we got the Thanksgiving film made.
Remember?
We're talking about it with Eli Roth all those
right?
times.
Remember how we squashed Dancing with the Stars?
Yep. Yeah.
Remember how we kept that show from going on the
air?
We
are powerful.
We wield a mighty, mighty stick.
We say it here, it comes out there.
And Daniel Craig, there's a lot of speculation. Is he coming back as Bond? Will there be a new Bond? Nobody really knows what's going to happen after Spectre. Daniel Craig finally spoke out about the role, saying that he'd rather kill himself than to play James Bond again. So I think that's a pretty good indicator that,
that
he won't be returning to the role. That's just me. I don't speak this Hollywood language that so many people in the film industry use, but I get, if I can read it between the lines, I get the sense that maybe he is not eager to return to the role of 007.
That may be an overreaction to say that, though, right?
I'd rather break this glass and slash my wrists, he said to the interviewer when asked if he would return to play the role of James Bond.
Maybe he was asked that too many times.
I'm over it. We're done. All I want to do is move on.
Yeah.
If he were to decide to do another Bond, he said, what would it take? He said he would do another Bond movie. It would only be for the money, he said.
He's got all the right answers.
He does. When asked about who he thinks should play the next James Bond, he said, look, I don't give an F.
Who keeps asking?
No.
Is this a real interview?
This is a real interview.
Who's the interviewer that just keeps going?
This interview at Time Out in the UK. Where, who would you like to see take over the role? I don't give an F. Good luck to them, he said.
Oh,
wow.
It's kind of refreshing.
It is kind of refreshing, but also kind of chapped ass.
Very.
Kind of cranky. He makes Sean Connery look cuddly. That's all I'm saying. And that is very difficult.
It's not easy.
Because Connery, he is not a warm, fuzzy guy. From what I remember with you guys when you talked to him on the regular basis.
Seems angry.
I don't know why you stopped talking to him. But maybe it's time for Sean to step back in. Look, if the roll's open.
Sure.
It's time to get 007. Or actually, at his age, it would be 700, I think, because he is 700 now.
I have a license to kill.
he might be too old.
Ralph, I don't want to put you on the spot.
Oh, yes, you do.
I don't.
But this is the guy saying, please, I don't mean any offense by this. And then they say something really offensive.
It's always offensive.
No, not at all.
But I don't mean to put you in the spot, but take your pants off.
As a lifelong James Bond fan, and Allie, I'll ask you the same question afterwards. As a lifelong James Bond fan, you get to pick. They come to you and they go, Ralph Garman, we've decided that you get to pick who the next James Bond is. Daniel Craig doesn't want to do it anymore. There's a lot of speculation about a lot of actors. Who do you want to see? And we're going to cast that person.
Adam West.
Again?
Adam West.
Talking again about an 80-year-old. For reals, who do you pick?
Turd Ferguson.
Oh,
Turd Ferguson. I'd have to go with Turd.
You decide I have to go with Turd.
You have spoken. It will be Turd Ferguson.
Oh,
be...
boy. You know, here's the thing. For a long time, my ideal Bond has always been Clive Owen.
Oh.
But he's starting to get a little long in the tooth. I think he's 50 or something. It might be late to take on that role and get two or three films out of him. So you might have to go with someone younger. You know who is kind of an off, out-of-the-box choice, but I think would be great, is Paul Bettany. I think Paul Bettany would be a cool Bond.
Interesting. I think he's got the cool.
He's very classy and sort of sophisticated, the gentleman spy, but he also has got a side to him. You think he could kick some ass, too. So
I'm going Tom choice. Hardy.
Nah, Tom Hardy's too street.
Yeah.
He's too street. He's too rough.
I'm going Kevin James.
Oh,
well,
no.
Kevin, that's your answer for every role.
Right?
You always want. Remember when you wanted Batman to be Kevin James when Christian Bale stopped? You just want him for everything.
I just love him so much.
He would have been great in The Martian. I've heard Kevin say that over and over
Batman
again.
Batman swung into a really clear piece of glass while defending Gotham City. That would be
never
awesome.
Stops being funny.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jesse Jackson, 74. Chevy Chase is 72. Sigourney Weaver turned 66 years old today. Daryl Hammond is 60. Matt Damon. Speaking of The Martian, 45 years old. Nick Cannon's 35. Travis Pastrana celebrates his 32nd birthday. Bruno Mars is 30. And Bella Thorne is 18 years old today. That's a reason to celebrate right there. That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:08.
Thursday mornings, about this time on the Kevin and Bean Show, we like to catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky from the CNN Headline News Show, weeknights at 6, and of course, Love Line here on K-Rock. And Dr. Drew, tell me about this Love Line Live that you're doing this Sunday night. This actually sounds pretty fun.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. People can join us at the soundstage behind the studios there where you guys are broadcasting from right now. And we have a live audience coming in on Sunday night, so check out the website. There's ways to apply to be in the audience and even to be on the air. We're going to have people... It's supporting the show My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and so we're going to talk about crazy things you've done for love.
Do you trust Mike Catherwood to be streaming live on the internet?
Stop there. Do you trust Mike Catherwood? Just leave it at that.
The answer's no, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
He's going to show his ass. You know that, right, Doctor?
Oh, he... I don't know if I should say this. Okay. So, you know, we have Sex with Emily in there on Thursday nights, right?
What?
Right.
Emily Morris. She has a podcast called... It's very low-key, but she just sort of talks to women about these things.
Right.
And because she is such a maven at this stuff, she has relationships with all the manufacturers of all the different toys and things.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Including the Sibian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mike wants one.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And she's offered one. And he, guess what he wants to do?
Yeah.
But you can't show it live on the air.
They're not going to stream
it. Yeah. You know Mike. You've met
him.
But they're not going to let you stream that. K-Rock's not going to let you stream Mike on a Sibian.
I can't tell you how many times poor producer Anna's come in and gone, Mike, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. and it just keeps coming back around over and over
That's
again.
Why I love Mike. He will not give up on that.
No, it's just awful. And
And by awful, you mean the best.
Well, you guys trained him well. It's just
This is Love Line Live. If you want to watch it, you can at krock.com this Sunday night at 10. All right. This is going to be a very difficult transition to go from that lighthearted topic to something very serious.
But
yeah, exactly. A week ago, I think it was last Thursday, we had the latest mass shooting at an American college. This time it was the Umpqua Community College in Oregon. The gunman, Christopher Harper Mercer is his name. What was he about? He was like
20 or 25, is young, a kid, right?
Young adult, yeah, young adult.
And he killed 9 people, I think, yeah. And then himself.
Yeah.
And look, we're not going to talk about guns because that's a no-win. America has decided as a country we're not going to address the gun problem, and there's nothing we can say about it here that's going to change anybody's mind.
There is a little something. Let me just give a quick sidebar, which is that there are laws in California now, just they're not yet actualized, probably somewhere around the beginning of the year, whereby concerned family members and medical caretakers or psychologists can actually apply, thank God now, to restrict people's access to guns for certain periods of time.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a brand new thing. California is hopefully leading the way. It's sane. It's not restricting people's Second Amendment privileges any more than it restricts them when there are other issues of a mental illness. Let's say, all I keep saying is, look, somebody has dementia and agitation and or seizures and pass out, there's this 5,000-pound device that I can restrict them from accessing called an automobile.
Right.
And why can't I also other issues, other technologies that might be dangerous? I need to be able to restrict their access to that, too, and now we can.
Now, are most of these people who end up doing these shootings, do they have therapists, and are they going to see people? I mean,
most of them, no, but many times they are. The issue always is getting, you know, us being able to do our job. You know, if people don't meet certain criteria, if they don't say, I'm going to get a gun and I have a plan to shoot somebody, we can't usually really do much. But this broadens out the ability to do something if you're just concerned, at least for a certain period of time. And that's what we need to be able to do, is be able to use our judgment and not meet very bizarre, simple criteria. There are plenty of that. I guarantee you there's a psychiatrist in Colorado that is still mourning the fact that she couldn't do anything about that crazy Colorado shooter because he didn't specify a plan, even though she knew damn well there was going to be a problem.
All right. That's great news, Dr. Dewey. Thank you for sharing us about that. So lots of experts say that the availability of handguns is one thing. And the other thing that has come up a lot, especially in light of this recent shooter, because he appeared to have such a fascination with previous school shootings, is the media coverage. And this gets us into a lot of topics, including how much should we even be talking about the shooter himself? You know, is the quote giving him what he wants, where we're headed if we start talking about and looking into his motives? You've probably wrestled with this professionally and personally for a long time, being on live television as often as you are, Dr. Drew. What role does the media coverage have in influencing the next generation of shooters?
There is no doubt that there is a copycat phenomenon. There's just no doubt. But what are you going to do? Are we going to suppress all information that flows about the society that is of a disturbing nature for fear that somebody's going to copycat it? By the same token, I would say, even though there's a short-term window in which there are often copycats, there's long-term benefit to addressing these things and looking at them. What are we going to do with history generally? Just suppress it? We don't say the name Hitler. We don't say the name Stalin. Because God knows somebody might copycat this. No, I think we examine history carefully. I think what's important is how we talk about it, that we actually help people understand what this is, raise awareness about mental illness, recognize what the signs are. And now, you know, the FBI has very specific profiles now where they know specifically the kind of person and the kind of family that's likely to be a shooter. I mean, the families that where the kid rules the roost, where they tolerate inappropriate behavior, where they blame the world for the behavior of the individual, where they allow, have no restrictions on any consumption of violent media. That's a situation, if you have a kid that's narcissistic and entitled and infatuated with violence and maybe has some other risk factors too, we always see there are two things in the last 6 shooters, which has been an autistic spectrum phenomenon, which again, vast majority not violent and more likely to be the object of violence than the perpetrator, but we got to be able to subdivide that category to understand who is at risk, and then people with untreated psychotic illness. If you have these problems in your family, get that person treated. They're better when they're treated. They certainly mm-hmm. aren't happy after they've done something like this.
All right, here's another question that I have, Dr. Jordan. I know this could be a very difficult one because I'm asking
by the way,
you.
I didn't answer your question, which is should you speak their name or not, which is something that flies around all over the place. There is a guy who is a very good psychologist and a very good researcher who reports evidence that saying the name does increase the probability of a copycat. But I don't think so. I think copycatting is something that's inevitable, and we need to prepare for it. As you see, there was already one thwarted shooting. We need to be vigilant. Just like saying there'd be copycats for 9/11 or terrorism, yes, of course, let's increase our vigilance. But speaking or not speaking the name, it seems to me, it's a primitive issue. What are we ancient Egyptians carving the names out of the rocks and make sure that history never remembers this person? That to me seems very, very primitive.
saying the name kind of leads me into the second part of my question, which, as I mentioned, is going to be difficult for you because I'm asking you to put yourself in the mind of a crazy person. But if he was sympathetic to previous school shooters and thought that, like, the Sacramento shooter was one that he had read about and even written about online, talking about how this guy had no one and now everyone knows his name. Now he's famous because of what he did. Then why do they kill themselves? Why are they dead before they get a chance to know any of how whether their message is received or how much they get talked about in the media? You would think that those type of people, as narcissistic as they are, would welcome going through the trial and having all that attention on them for months at a time.
Yes, and I think you're getting right at where the rubber hits the road on these very issues, which is that when somebody gets to the point where they're perpetrating something like this, they are. I've treated people that come are brought in by police after they've done something horrific like this, and they are agitated to the point where they are crawling up the ceiling. So it is not in their normal state. They are not operating in a rational state of mind. They're agitated. They're often psychotic. They're often manic. Think of that West Virginia shooter, or the Virginia Tech shooter, rather, how the videos he left behind in extreme states of agitation. And, yes, they have a fascination with those shooters for out of feeling that that is some sort of a rational solution to how disenfranchised they're feeling. And they fascinate over the power, and they fascinate over the thing. But the fascination is not what leads, what not triggers the perpetration. There really, in my experience, almost has to be some sort of acute process, usually sort of what we would call mental illness, is an agitated state of some type where homicide and suicide, where lives don't matter, their lives, our lives, none of it matters. That's the state they're in.
So everybody's trying to look for anything that they can do, and you're just saying, and we're having the conversation that saying their name doesn't hurt things. Putting their picture up doesn't hurt things.
I don't think saying the name does, but we can argue about that.
Right.
It might, and if there's evidence that it really does, of course, I will back off that issue. But I think the copycat is inevitable whether you say their name or not. We need to all just be vigilant. And listen, there's a really important lesson. It got several important lessons. One is about parenting. You know, kids don't rule the roost. Don't manage their consumption of violent material. And don't tolerate inappropriate behavior. This is about both the school and the parents. When there are shooters, you find that there's a high level of toleration of things that should be sent for treatment and required to be treated as a criteria for even being at a school or being a member of a family. You've got to be okay. You can't sit around. We would do the same thing with a cancer or a medical problem. We must do the same thing with brain diseases.
Great stuff, as always, Dr. Drew. You can hear him this afternoon on KABC, AM 790. You can also listen to him on Loveline 5 nights a week, including the special Loveline Live Show webcast this Wednesday night at krock.com. And the new Dr.
Drew. I think it's Sunday night.
And the new Dr. Drew, of course, Dr. Drew is on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6. We always enjoy your talking to you, and thank you for carving out some time for us, too. Bye-bye.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
What time are you going to be on, Ralph?
I
want to tune in.
It's not your business.
I want to hear Ralph.
Stay in your lane.
Come on, Ralph.
It's not your business.
Ralph's doing a radio interview tomorrow, and I'm so jealous because he's on one of the legendary rock stations in the world, WMMR Philadelphia.
Because it's Rocktober, man.
It is.
Everything
it is
that rocks.
What are you going on for?
He's doing a show in
HBO
Philly.
Because
Friday night.
Because I'm a conquering hero. I'm returning a hero to my home. That's why.
Because is that it though?
It's before the parade, so they want to get me before the parade.
Wow.
Oh, they get parades now. The guys with podcasts.
Oh, you son of a bitch!
See, why do you hate?
Yeah, really, boy.
That's why you're not going to get the time.
That's right.
All right.
What time are you getting about, Ralph? I want to hear
it's
it.
Not for you.
I want to listen.
It's for Philadelphia. It's not for you. Okay. I'm not a Philadelphian.
All right. Well, have fun.
I will be doing things that Philadelphians do.
Not those things, though,
not
right?
Not those things, no.
Okay. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on this radio station, KROQ.
It is on.
What's on?
The battle we've been waiting for in this corner, weighing in. At 127 pounds.
Yes,
the master of disaster, Ronda Rousey. And in this corner, weighing at 78 pounds, the pride of Canada, Justin Bieber.
Oh.
It's on.
Really?
Yeah. Ronda Rousey wants to beat the snot out of Justin Bieber.
Oh, that would be so great.
Right?
She could do it.
Isn't that what we've all been praying for?
That would be so good.
Great story out of Cosmopolitan magazine. Ronda was at the Cannes Film Festival, and she took her little sister Julia with her along. And there they are at all the parties, and Julia was nonplussed. Not too into the celebrities, not into the scene, not enjoying herself. But then, at the party, across the room, she sees the Biebs. And he's there taking pictures with people.
Okay.
And little Rousey, Julia says, "You think he would take a picture with me?" And Ronda Rousey's like, "He's taking pictures with everybody, apparently, I'm sure. You're the only 16-year-old girl in the room." I'll let Ronda tell you the rest of the story.
I walked over there and I said, "Excuse me." And he turned to me and goes, "I've already taken a billion pictures today, okay?" And I said, "Yeah, but," because it's the only 16-year-old girl at the whole party, you know? I only got a "yeah, but" out. And he goes, "A billion," and walks off and totally snubbed my little sister. And then she looks at me and she's like on the verge of tears and she goes, "I'm no longer a believer. Yeah, I don't think I'd want to hang out with him. I'm not a believer. I was, but I'm not anymore."
Now she's a believer ass kicker.
Dude. It's on.
It's on.
So, look, on. So on.
If Ronda Rousey asks you to do something, you do it. Because she's a nice lady.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, here we go.
Yep.
It's on.
Right.
Race war.
Race war.
Race war's on,
race
everybody.
Race war. The race
it's
war.
It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on.
The race, race war. War we've all been waiting for. Women versus Canadians.
By the way, it's so funny because ever since Ronda Rousey has proven to the world that there are no women that are her equal, there's no one you can put in that octagon that she cannot demolish in a minute. Everybody's been saying, well, she needs to fight a man now, which is stupid. But if she's going to fight a man, please let it be Bieber.
Or Bean. Let it be Bean.
I don't want that to happen.
Dare you? Why would you want that?
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Be pretty funny.
Dude. Dude, faint just before the
before
started.
They sang the national anthem.
Oh, say. I don't think you want me in the octagon with Ronda Rousey. I've done nothing to deserve that.
Ronda, I just like.
But theater, take Bieber down. That would be fun.
He fall off the edge of the ring there, climbing in. Ah, my back.
Be pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet. I might tell that story on WMMR tomorrow.
Be pretty. Love it. Hear it. Yeah. Love it.
This is good news if you, like me, just love the crap out of Ant-Man. I loved that film. I thought it was terrific. Paul Rudd will return. It's official. Marvel has announced this morning that they have greenlit a sequel to Ant-Man. Once again, Paul Rudd, Scott Lang will shrink down, become Ant-Man in a sequel, which has a very telltale title. I think we know where this is going. Ant-Man and the Wasp is the name of the second film. Which means we get Paul Rudd and we're going to get Evangeline Lilly as Hope Van Dyne to shrink down herself into her own suit, following her mother's footsteps. The two of them fighting crime. This stupid Ant-Man. What is the size of an ant? Does he control ants? That's dumb. That's a dumb hero. Kevin said a year ago.
It's a great movie.
Oh!
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Oh!
It's a great movie.
Oh!
Loved it. Couldn't have loved it more.
Oh!
This one's going to suck.
Come on!
No, I'm just kidding.
Learn your lessons. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Bella Thorne is 18 years old today.
Just the latest in a long line of hot celebrities with the word Belle in her name.
Good. All right. Good point, Rain Man. Bruno Mars is 30 years old today. And he's got a planet in his name. I'd like to go to Mars. Travis Pastrana. Or Pavis Tristana. That'd be a cool name. He's 32 years old today. Nick Cannon turns 35. Matt Damon, star of the number one movie in the world right now, The Martian. He is 45 years old. Daryl Hammond of SNL fame turns 60. Sigourney Weaver, 66 years old today. You know, Sigourney Weaver, of course, along with the rest, most of the cast of Ghostbusters, returning to the reboot for a cameo. Great article today if you get a chance to read it in The Hollywood Reporter, where they do an interview with Rick Moranis, which is someone we haven't heard from or seen in a long time. And he talks about why he passed on reprising a
He was the accountant.
He was Lewis. Lewis Tully. Oh, yeah. He was the gatekeeper, or the key, right. The key keeper. He was the key holder. He's the key. The key master. Key master. Key master.
What's the short version of his answer, Ralph? Why didn't he want to be in it?
He said he couldn't imagine working for one day on something he did 30 years ago. It just didn't make any sense to him.
Hmm. And hey, if it's good enough for Bill Murray, it should be good enough for Rick Moranis.
Well, Rick is he doesn't work that much anymore out of choice.
Well, maybe this isn't about him. Maybe it's about the fans.
Right.
Well, let's force him to do it.
Maybe he would work more if he didn't say no when people offer him things.
No, we're saying he's picky about what he does these days.
He is a dick.
He's not. No? That's the whole. You're missing the whole point of what I'm saying.
But he's not going to be offered something better than this Ghostbusters movie.
Maybe he's okay with that.
Yes, and I'm sure it was just a walk-on. I'm sure he's not getting. They're not asking him to play Viggo.
Asshole. No.
He's not. He's a good man. His wife passed away, and he raised his two kids. That's the reason he took some time off, and he still does a lot of voice work, and he's very happy living in New York City. And
but we hate him.
We don't. We love him.
Let him live.
Take off,
I'm missing the whole point here.
I think you are, yes.
I thought we hate him.
Chevy Chase is 72. Here's a guy we want to retire, and he won't. He keeps doing things. So you never get what you want. And civil rights leader Jesse Jackson is 74 years old today. Jesse Jackson, a huge fan of this show, talks about it often. Remember that time when we asked him to do that?
Hi, this is Reverend Jesse Jackson, who listened to Kevin and Bear on K-Rock LA.
He loves Kevin and Bear.
He does.
Not get enough of the Kevin and Bear show. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with his beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we've got the movie beat because it is Friday. We have the Cure tickets. The Hollywood Bowl. We have Seth Green, one of our favorite guests. We also have R.J. Bell, who's going to tell you how to get your house back from last weekend.
Because it's R.J. Bell! R.J. Bell!
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.